Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Southern Sports Central, your source for all things sports, with your host, Richie Altman, and Eugene Benton, taking your call at 323-784-9681. Now, let's join Richie in the studio.
And everybody, welcome to an all-new Southern Sports Central. I'm Richie Altman, going to be joined here with a few good coaches from around the state of South Carolina here tonight. Of course, Eugene going to be hanging out behind the glass there, getting the music lined up, getting the introductions handled, and of course, taking the calls from our three coaches that are going to be joining us here tonight on our special edition of Southern Sports Central. We're glad to be back here, by the way, in the Blog Talk Sports Radio Network. And, of course, if you're listening to us live over on the X or Twitter, whichever one we're going to go with today, we're hanging out over there, of course, on Spaces as we get you ready for two solid hours, maybe two and a half solid hours, but we're guaranteed three solid coaches, maybe four, depending on what we can get out of Coach Lane, who had a tentative schedule, maybe can, maybe can't. You know, he's a state championship coach. We're going to let him do his thing. Of course, he won it this past year over at Westside. So hopefully he can join us at 8 o'clock. But let's kind of get through a little
Everybody
bit tonight.
Here.
What we're looking at tonight, of course, as we get ready to, of course, get ready for tonight's big show. And three coaches that we're going to be hitting on, of course, starting off with the head coach over at Cross High School, which Coach Sean Wright. He'll join us at 6:30 tonight. At 7 o'clock, it's going to be Corey Crosby with Bamberg Earhart. And then at 7:30, Coach Eddie Ford with Woodland High School on the clock with us there. And, again, I've got all the Eugene, I'll bring you in with me as well, buddy. But I was able to get a little bit of background from each one of these three coaches, so I'm excited to get them in here tonight. Of course, it is Black History Month, and we want to – you know, highlight a lot of our amazing coaches around the state, our African-American coaches who have done some great things in the Palmetto State here. And the veterans, these are veterans, by the way. Next week we get some of the young ones to come in, but we're going to get the guys at the head of the table and have them ready to catch up with us. And it's going to be great because I can tell you, and you know this as well, Eugene, that, you know, Sean has been the athletic director out there at Cross. Now he's the head football coach, and they've kind of done that around the state, and you're seeing that even most recently over at Gray, where they've taken it and separated the head coaching from football to the athletic director. But, you know, he's going to come in with a ton of knowledge. You've got Corey Crosby. I think he's actually the assistant athletic director over at Bamberg Earhart. This dude's got a ton of energy still. I enjoy talking to him as well because he was one of the coaches on the North-South gang. And he was one of the defensive coaches, I think maybe the defensive coordinator, where the South took care of business and beat the guys in the upstate over in Myrtle Beach. And then, of course, Eddie Ford, been around a long time, but been faithful and loyal over to Coach Cyber and those over at Woodland. He'll be coming in and talking to us about his path and what's led each one of these coaches to where they are today. Why did they decide to get into coaching after playing high school ball or even some college ball? You know, what kind of drove them into that? And then we'll ask them some common questions that you kind of came up with and see what we can come up with. But, Eugene, before we hit a break here at 6:09, man, just want to bring you in. And it's just kind of glad to be back in the Blog Talk studios again.
Yeah, and just want to make sure, give me a heads up if you hear me. We're running some new laptop here and some new equipment. So go ahead and let me know. Can you get me? You got me there?
Yeah, you're good to go, buddy. Good stuff.
All right, perfect.
Good to
perfect.
Have you back in.
You're balancing here when you have a microphone on the computer and you go into Blog Talk now, you have to have the microphone set to a certain setting, and then you have another microphone sitting over by the phone running something else. So sometimes you just don't want to make sure those things don't screech and squeal and bleed over, but sounds like we're all good to go on that. So here we go. And, you know, one more thing, man, we're just going to say
I'm for real.
I am for real, and we are ready, man. We got Smitty on the line too. We'll have some fun tonight, man. You know, Sean and I, we go back. I love that guy to death, man. He's an awesome coach. Got to know Coach Crosby, obviously, you know, having with the nephew there for a little bit, and known him and his father, and Coach Crosby's actual brother, you know, for a while when he was doing this thing as a football coach there at Bamberg, and then on to Orangeburg Wilkeson, and you know, a couple of these guys got to know well, and you know, we've seen some new head coaches up on the radar in the past couple of days, especially one last night, Coach Oz, you know, want to join next week, so we'll look forward to that. But focusing on tonight, man, we got three, possibly four coaches that have, you know, got the rings, got the big ring, the championship rings here in the state of South Carolina. So I'm really excited to, you know, hang out with these guys, get to know them a little bit better. Sometimes you always learn something a little bit different when you get these guys on, no matter how much you talk to them. So ready to get going with that. We got City loaded. I think we got our spaces up running. So those who are listening on there, welcome. A little bit different format tonight. If you want to speak, I know in these spaces, that's kind of going to be the listening room. We call it the green room. So it can be listening spaces. If you do want to call in, the number to call in is 515-602-9675. And we'll repeat a little bit later on in the show. But let's get it locked. Let's get it loaded. And let's get rolling, guys.
Yeah, we're excited. And by the way, just got confirmation, Smitty. I know you'll be excited. Eugene, you'll be excited. And we do have our 8 o'clock guest. So we're going to run from 6 to 8:30 tonight. Coach Lane will be joining us here at 8 o'clock. He, of course, coming off that fresh state championship win this past season as the boys of Westside handled the business. And I'm excited to have him in here to talk with us. So we've got four solid guests in about three hours. So that's going to be a good show.
Everybody's got to think that's probably one of the biggest, I'd say, shocks and upsets. Those guys up there before I knew they were pretty dang good. But I think a lot of people just thought South Florence was a mission to repeat. That was a heck of a game, man. That was a really good game. So I'm really excited to get him in here about that.
Yeah, definitely excited. And each one of these coaches really bring their own, you know, I would say almost like superheroes, right? They bring their own energy to the room. They bring their own energy to the sidelines. And, you know, I'm kind of interested, Eugene, in asking these coaches a little bit about their pregame, right? What do they do before they get to the field, right? What do they do on the way to the field? What do they do, you know, with their players? You know, that type of stuff is interesting to me as a former player in my days. And, of course, watching a lot of coaches. I was around one of the great ones back in the day with Coach McKissick. And he was one of those dudes that said, you know what, right before the game, he kind of sat over here, did his own thing. He didn't really want a lot of people around him. And I can tell you, I can understand that because he's getting his mind wrapped around what's getting ready to happen. Because, you know, when you're some of these coaches, and I would say every one of these coaches that we have in here tonight, you're always going to get the best shot from whoever's on the other side of the field. And so you've got to bring your A game every day. Every day you're going to get the best shot of those on the other side of the field. So, Eugene, let's do this. Let's set it up here tonight. We're going to go to a quick break. Got to reset some things. When we come back, what we're going to do is get into a little bit of laundry talk, if you will. I know last week Coach Perrin released some information about we may or may not have some new members running the high school league. We'll talk about that and, of course, a few other things as well. Guys, don't go anywhere. Southern Sports Central is coming up a little bit more right after this, guys.
There is nothing more intoxicating than the meld of emotions and sensations that is Friday night. Friday night is the sound of that crowd, the pride of that community, the way that that grass smells. I've never felt in my adult life the way that I felt on Friday night. That's what those kids are playing for. They're playing for that emotion. They're playing for that brotherhood and all of that sensory input that comes from Friday night. That's why they're playing high school football in this country. It is this common thread that weaves through the American fabric. Whether you live in Compton, California, or you live in Appalachia, if you played the game at the high school level, you have this common bond of representing that community. Anyone who disparages where the game is based on myriad reasons. I'm not buying it. I'm around the game every day on these campuses. I see the impact it has on these young men. I see the way that these coaches are able to grow high school boys into NFL or professional men, and it's just beautiful.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Rich Elman here live on Southern Sports Central. Glad to be back here in the world of Blog Talk Radio here on the Internet as we're coming to you excited about what tonight's show is going to bring in here. And I got to be honest with you, when you try to put everything in place, you know, what an opportunity, what a gift it is to be able to talk to so many great individuals in the last, well, we've been doing this since 2007. And 2024, we're going to bring you more. We're going to stand on business. We're going to have some fun while we interview and talk to a lot of coaches and players. You know, we did this back, Eugene. Think about it. Back in 2019 and 2020, you know, we stepped up our game because why? Because we couldn't go on the campuses back then because of COVID. And so we had to do a lot of what they called virtual tours. So we got the football coaches, and we had them bring in, what, three players? And I got to tell you, man, I felt like COVID, we were probably closer to our athletes and our coaches and really dialed into the Internet more than ever because they couldn't go anywhere. We kind of had their attention, and I guess handcuffed is probably the best word because there were just so many limitations on what they could and couldn't do.
Yeah, you know, we had people in to a school, and we'd feature, you know, a coach or a principal, or we even had a teacher on with, from a middle school that fed Ridgeview High School up there in Columbia. But, you know, because it seemed like every, you know, we would do shows 2-3 times a week, and they were packed. We, you know, I was calling around and DMing and Twittering and texting and calling, and, you know, we would just take an hour almost to fill it up with the whole high school. We just toured the state from the Midlands, you know, the coastal regions, the PD, Lowcountry, Columbia, Aiken. We were just all over, and it was a great time to get to know people. But now it's kind of, we need to start cashing some of those promises, man. Some of those people promised us to come up and check out some of these new stadiums and get some good food. You know, they told us where to grab a bite to eat. I'll tell you, the only one I ever regretted was last year was when we had Lenoris on and Coach Marlowe and the strength guy on. I think it was one of the Armstrongs or something like that. And that was...
You know, I did get to go tour his facility and left with a pretty bad whooping there. One I never want to go back to, not under those circumstances. It was 7 degrees, and Coach Marlowe and LaForce and those guys turned up the heat on us pretty soon in that game. But it is a beautiful facility for sure. But that was a great time. You know, I think we did a great job of trying to feature athletes, especially those. You remember that spring, all those athletes that were coming on the show with track or their soccer or their softball or baseball season was just completely taken away from them. And so that was a really good, cool experience to get them on there and talk about that.
Right. Yeah, it was. It was. And you know, you mentioned track and field during that time, right? During that time, we actually had Coastal Carolina's track and field coach come in here and wanted to be a part of the magic, wanted to be part of the madness here on Southern Sports Central. We had a home run derby. Oh, yes, we did. We had a home run derby, and that was amazing. I mean, we were a part of the one up in Dorchester County where we partnered up there with that recreation center that brought on the three Dorchester County schools. But then you start to think about the athletes that we had on our show during that time. One of them, oh, by the way, Will Shipley, for you Clemson Tiger guys, who was just a young high school senior, showed up at the an event that was put up by Chachi and some of the guys up there in Charlotte. Boy, that was a lot of fun. There were so many dudes there. Matter of fact, I could sit here and name at least 30 guys that are still playing Division I football, one in Syracuse. We had three kids from St. Louis that looked like they were playing for the Florida Gators that I ended up going out to eat lunch with one of the fathers and the three of those guys. They thought we were the Gators. They actually gave us our own little seat over at Smitty's favorite place, Carolina L House, here in Somerville. But, you know, when you look back at all those things, it just reminds you how lucky we are. You know, we've all played high school sports. I was blessed to play college baseball at the University of South Carolina. And I had the chance to meet a lot of people during that time, Eugene. But when you go back and you think about the relationships that we've built and the things that we've been able to do since we've kicked this thing off back in 2007 and all the way to today, you know, we quickly look back at, you know, Clemson Tom, who he's probably sitting here listening back down in Orlando. He's a mega part of why we are where we are. Darnisha Allen Jackson, she passed away last year, and it broke a lot of hearts, and ours included, as she was my co-host for about 3 years as well on here. Her son Bryson, by the way, was a kid that we found on Twitter, and we followed him around from his days at Atlanta and all the way to every school across the country. He would call in on that Monday and tell us what his recruiting trips were like before he committed to the Gamecocks, which we didn't even know he was going to become a Gamecock when we started following him, but that made it just a little bit sweeter. But, you know, you look at where they were and where we are, and boy, did we think, Eugene, in 2019 and 20, did you think we'd be where we are now in 24? We're talking open enrollment. We're talking NIL. We're talking back to the uppers and the lowers of 5A and combining this and moving that and all these new schools that are out here. I mean, definitely a completely different landscape than what we thought we would see 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's a different sphere. You know, we've gone from COVID and begging to play, and, you know, your schedule would change on the dime. You could have a schedule for Friday night of a game, and Friday at noon you might have to go play another team. I mean, that's how absolutely insane it was. And then, you know, as crazy it was, you were just grateful to be able to, you know, to have the sport and to be able to have that opportunity to get together to do that. You know, the weightlift and eight folks at a time, and then you got to spray the equipment down and then bring more in. And, you know, for the game of football, you got to have 11 to make a squad, you know, for each side of the ball. Baseball, you really need 9. So it's very difficult. It was a very difficult time. Like you were talking about, you know, the college camps shut down for 2 years. So the only way these kids could really get their to be seen, honestly, was to make homemade film. You know, to make some of them running, you know, to cut their highlights up a little bit better from the last time, and use every single coach and media outlet they could use to get their, you know, to put them and to be seen and to have those opportunities. It was a very challenging year. But look where we are now. We went from that to things kind of back to normal. To just as things started to settle in and, you know, resemble, you know, 2019, we got all new litigation and new laws in state and multipliers and take multipliers away. Open enrollment, that seems to be a thing. If you don't like where you play or where you're zoned for, you can declare that, you know, you're a homeschool kid and go homeschool for a week and then, you know, enroll where you want to go because the homeschool window extension possibly. The new provision that came out that may be voted on in the next it could be today, I mean tomorrow, it could be the next day, could be March.
Right.
Could undo the multiplier, and that shifted things into a 54 team 5A. Some of the 2As became 4As, 2As became 3As, some of the 1As became 2As. I don't know. I mean, if that gets kicked in, you're going to wonder how many of the teams that filed appeals or say, well, now you can't be in 3A or 4A or whatever. I deserve to be in 2A or 1A. Because if that's the case, then, you know, a lot of schedules are going to have to be redone. Not so much just like, for example, I mean, for your region, you're having a region. And if the law says one thing, you know, I saw part of the law said that the state could not or the high school league would be barred from collecting any fees from a high school treated indifferently, and that the school, if you paid high school fees and were treated indifferently, they could remove your state funding. So, you know, there's also this out there, the possibility of just doing away with the high school league as we know it, and someone joining up, I guess, becoming a governmental agency, possibly an elected bureaucrat or elected politician that would be, you know, I'm just throwing out terms, a commissioner of athletics for the state of South Carolina, much like the education, I don't know if it's the Secretary of Education or the Commissioner or the Superintendent of Education, the State Superintendent. So maybe there will be an elected superintendent of athletics, who knows. I just, you know, as we discussed so many times in the spaces, I don't like that idea. I think when you make an election, and it just leads to too many canned fundraising and favors and things like that. I'm really big on that idea. There are so many changes that happened. Like I said, when we need to hit that bottom part of the curve and kind of get things back to normal, we're thrown in with this. And, oh, by the way, there's the hint of NIL knocking on the door. College football or college sports, especially college football, has been completely blown up for the last 4 years. You know, today there was another meeting with the Big Ten and the SEC. I look at Florida State maybe trying to go to the Big Ten. The SEC says they might want to stay for a little bit with the amount of teams they have until they decide to go to a 9-game schedule, which would be in 2 years instead of next year. So ever-changing environment, it feels like as soon as we settle the dirt in the yard, we get a storm to come by and knock all the leaves, and we got to go clean something else up.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right, Eugene, because we said this last December. You remember, me, you, and Smitty, on and off the air, we said this was going to be the trifecta, the perfect storm, the Bermuda Triangle, however you wanted to label it. And we said it was going to be a hell of a 24, and it's already proven that. Could you imagine? All these coaches are just now finding teams because they couldn't put their schedules together. They had no idea where they were going to 1 or 5A or anything in between. And then it was finally put together after everybody decided to, you know, protest this or go after that. And finally they got it where they need it. And then, wait a minute, here's another wrinkle in the cloth here. Exactly. So when we look at it that way, you know, we just have to kind of go with the punches. And I just hope that we've learned. I'm going to go way up on a limb and go ahead and put it out here on Southern Sports Central. I have no whatsoever want for the state to run this situation. They got their own problem.
This is such a crock of shit.
And that part, I can tell you, when it comes down to it, that while we might not like and agree with everything that the commissioner has done, and again, I've never been in that role, so I can't imagine it's maybe not as easy as we think it is. Maybe. I don't know. But what I do know is it can be a lot worse. And it can be a lot,
damn,
lot worse.
Damn right.
And what I mean by that, maybe we can figure out some ways to fine-tune this thing if we can keep it in-house and keep it with the high school league, which I'm hoping and praying, because I can tell you, you know, I can call, you know, the commissioner, Singleton, and he'll come on the show right now. And he's mentioned that many times, that if he ever wants, we ever need him, want him, he'd be happy to come on. And if not, he can't make it, he'd send somebody who will. I don't know if we get that conversation from somebody in another political role. And again, like Eugene says, you know, who knows what's happening behind scenes with some of that other stuff. So I don't like a couple of things, but that's okay. I'm not going to like everything that happens. I don't like everything and a couple of different things that I got going on in life. But you adjust, you move on. And, we'll wait and see how that kind of plays itself out. Again, I am excited, by the way, Eugene, that we do have Coach Lane coming in. He just sent me his bio, so he's excited to come in here. And I've got bios on all four of our coaches. And, boy, I'm going to tell you something. Holy crap. We got some talented coaches coming in here tonight, man. I tell you what, the red carpet is definitely getting rolled out, as we'll talk about that. I do want to say congratulations to the wrestlers across the state who won a state championship a couple of weeks back. I believe maybe it wasn't last week, the weekend before. So many great athletes, in that ring. And right now we're down to the final five classifications in the state. They'll all be heading to Florence Civic Center, which, again, that's a question I do have. On the docket, can we move that to Columbia? Can we? I don't understand why it's in Florence. Move it to the middle of the state. They've got not one but two really nice facilities, Eugene, that we're both familiar with that they could be playing in. So I'm not sure. That might be the first thing to impress some people if the high school league can go ahead and announce next year we're going to move it to Columbia and get it out of Florence or even bring it down to Charleston. But I think what's fair for the upstate is to meet them in the middle of the state, and that goes for everything. And I think all of our state championships, by the way, should be held there at the Capitol. What about you, Gene?
Yeah, I honestly, with the shape of our state being that little funky triangle, man, I think honestly, and the way that, and if you think about it, the way the highways roll, I know 20 is all the way to Myrtle Beach, but there's some connecting roads into 20, but let's face it, it gets right to the heart of the state, you know, taking those folks from the PD area and the Grand Strand area right into Columbia. 77 goes from, you know, Rock Hill down into Columbia. I-95, I-26. They all come up that way, you know, 20 back over to the side, 26 all the way up to the, you know, right to get to the split before you get to Clinton High School, at Greenville, Spartanburg area. It makes the most sense. And, of sport, you know, everything that they do don't make the most sense. You know, if we had to play a high school championship, you know, I get it, Carolina. You know, they got practices. They got the, you know, the men's women's team both having games and practices going on. They could probably schedule around that. If not, you know, there are other teams in that area that have nice gyms. You know, you're not going to sell out 10,000 tickets. We look at the Florence game every year, these games in Florence, and you look at the pictures, you look at some of the videos, or log on and watch the game. There's a couple hundred people there. You know what? So you could have that game at Lexington High School gym, or River Bluff has a beautiful gym and facility. Most of their facilities are awesome. And at least put it somewhere there in the middle of the state. It's just, I think it's really, you know, you've got Malden and Burns, and we know where those schools are geographically. They're meeting in Florence to play Lexington and Somerville. Make it make sense, bro. Make it make sense. It just, because it does. It does.
And that's my biggest fear, and I know there's a lot of people as we're getting ready to head to break, and we'll get ready for our first guest coming in here, Coach Sean Wright, going to come all the way from the bright lights and the big lakes of Cross, South Carolina. He'll be joining us here in about 3 to 4 minutes. But you're right, make it make sense. And when you see teams in the upstate playing down here in the lower state because we don't have enough teams, and I know there's a lot of people that want to see a 6A, but my question is, in reality-wise, we don't have as many high schools as I think we need to feel that. Because as of right now, and here's another thing, and this is the last caveat. We're going to move on and get into our interview section of the show. But just a laundry bag clean out here for us. Is I want to say this. I do not want to see a team with a losing record in the playoffs. I feel bad that they don't have enough teams to filter the playoff or whatever it may be, but there's nothing to gain for a young athlete or even a coach, because coaches, you know, they deal with the emotion part of it too, to get blown out by 30 points or 20 points or 40 points, whatever it is. Eugene, that's one thing that I hope that we kind of look at going in and, you know what, we just have to readjust it, then we have to readjust it. And then I'm also wanting to see maybe we can kind of relook at how they already preset the home field advantage. You know, it's really tough for me to understand when a team goes undefeated the entire season, and then they hit the playoffs, and then they have to hit the road. I mean, there has to be a benefit of going undefeated throughout the season or being at the top number one in the state, whatever it may be. You know, you just hate to see that part of it. And, again, those are just some of the laundry items that we'll put back on the shelf. We'll table it for next week because we are going to be back live again right here next week at 6 o'clock with at least 3, if not 4 more new coaches around the state. But, Eugene, let's hit the music. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we roll out the red carpet for Coach Sean Wright. He's won a state championship and many, I mean many, regional championships. We'll catch up with the one and only Coach Wright right after this, guys. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Southern Sports Central right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sports Central with Richie Altman and Eugene Benton taking your calls at 323-784-9681.
All right, we're back live, folks. We got Cook Sean. We're taking him out of the green room. We got Richie coming back on, putting his headset on, ready to roll. I think we got everybody locked and loaded in the studio. Let's roll it. Here we go.
All right, so guys, welcome in here. And Eugene, go ahead and get the man with the plan his introduction, which he needs no introduction, by the way, as we look at the coach who is getting ready to join us here next year. He's done a hell of a job in small-town USA, which is where, by the way, high school football was invented. And I got to be honest, it might be up there in the lakes up there in Cross, South Carolina. Of course, we do welcome in the one and only Coach Sean Wright. He's been doing it now for, is that his 14th year? One state championship, numerous region championships, and the one thing that he'll mention as we bring him in here in just a second, he's placed 12 student athletes with scholarships at various schools within his time there at Cross. Eugene, go ahead and let's give him an introduction and bring in the one and only coach, of course, Sean Wright with us now. Woo! And welcome, everybody, with the one and only, as we welcome him in here. I've had the opportunity to get to know this five-star gentleman. He is a hell of a coach on the field, an even better person off the field. And that, of course, is the Cross Trojans, very own Sean Wright. Coach, welcome to Southern Sports Central. We're glad to have you with us on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon, Coach.
Good evening, guys. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to chatting and seeing what you guys have to offer and I have to offer and what the other coaches have to offer.
It's going to be a good show, and you're getting to start us off, Coach. I mean, who better to bring down the magic down the red carpet to lead off the coaching show here as we highlight, of course, some of our amazing coaches around the state. Of course, Coach, it is Black History Month, and we do this every single year. We come back and we bring in and highlight a lot of our incredible African-American coaches who have given the opportunity, and boy, have you made the most out of that opportunity, Coach. When you look back at your days, and I want you to kind of give us a little bit of a bio because I get it, 14 years over there with the Trojans. We've got a lot of common friends and things that, of course, you and I know that are from that side of the world. You coached a lot of our friends, the kids, which I think is very cool. You might start coaching some of their kids here soon, Coach, if you haven't already. So that's going to be an interesting. That's when we start feeling a little bit older, Coach. But, again, glad to have you with us. But tell us a little bit, who is Sean Wright? Where's Sean Wright from? What did Sean Wright do as a little fellow that dreamed about playing high school football and so on and so forth? And here you are now 14 years deep and being a head coach of a very successful program over at Cross.
I'm from Cross, born and raised. I had a chance to go to the elementary in the middle / high school. And it's just a, you know, our area is just a special area. I mean, it's a community school. You know, we are close-knit. You know, those everybody knows everybody. So, you know, we had a chance to, you know, just come up on the good people, good vibes, and it's a pleasure for me to have gone there, graduated from there, you know, going on to play college football for 4 years, received my master's, work at Cross as an assistant, work at Timberland as an assistant, work at King Street as an assistant, and then come back to Cross in 2009, and then, you know, just completed my 14th year as head coach at Cross High School, where you guys are right. We've had some success, you know, throughout our time here, and you know, we've been able to win, you know, a lot of ball games, and of course, we had a chance to win the big one in 2012, and ultimately, like you said in the preview, you know, have 12 kids that were able to take the education from Cross, take the coaching from Cross, and was able to attract colleges, and they were able to sign their names on the dotted line and play college football. So we're proud of that.
Hanging out with Coach Sean Wright. He is the head football coach of the Cross Trojans. Of course, that's hometown for him. A very interesting thing to do for you, the coach. I mean, we talk about you coaches. You make it personal. But, man, isn't it personal more than ever? I mean, I see you, of course, living by example on social media. You're working out daily. So you're not telling these kids to do something and you're going over to Krispy Kreme or you're heading over to Dunkin' Donuts. And if you are, you're still working out tail. But you're living by example, right, for these young guys, and whether it be at the home or hanging out over at the gym over there somewhere in Somerville, whatever it may be, you know, you're living day-to-day by the same thing you're asking these young kids to give you the same energy, Coach. And I got to be honest with you, man. You may have one of the biggest fan bases around that I see. And I'm, of course, down in the North Charleston area where the studio is. But when you think about what you're able to do there in Berkeley County, you know, you do more with less. And I don't mean talent-wise. I mean, let's just be honest, a 1A school, a little bit tougher than what you're going to get out of a 5A school when it comes down to the financial part of things and just other opportunities that you have to actually go and find that aren't quite just there when you walk on campus.
Well, you know, when you think about Berkeley County is a large county. As a matter of fact, the largest county in the state. And, you know, Cross has been – we've been able to withstand the growth in the area. And you know, we know that those other areas are you know, overcrowded some, and Cross is just – we just kept up with what everybody else was doing. And the main factor for that has been, you know, our alumni. You know, they love and are so passionate that the fact that our building is still there, they come and support us, you know, like no other. You know, when we travel as far as football and basketball, you know, we really allow our kids to have a home court, home field advantage, no matter where we go, whether we're home or whether we're on the road. So, you know, the people of Cross, they're special, and they just, you know, they just love our kids, and we love our kids, and we love the fact that we are still here, relevant, and doing the things that we want to do. And I'm grateful that I'm able to be a part of that. You know, sometimes as a coach, you know, we try to put ourselves on the pedestal, but, you know, I'm not one of those type of guys. I just feel as though I fit in with everybody else, and I'm just trying to do my part. And the biggest thing is being able to give back to the community that gave so much to me. And that goes from my parents all the way down to the teachers, the administrators, the janitors. I mean, everybody that come in contact with at Cross and throughout my time there. So it's special. It's special. And thank you guys for noticing that.
Hey, Coach, I tell you what, it's not, don't have to look hard, because I tell you, you just, year after year, you're in the chase. I mean, if they mention state championships and they talk about your classification, they would be lost under some small rock in Wahala, South Carolina, but they're not to know that Sean Wright is doing it and standing on business down here in the lakes of Cross, South Carolina. Coach, you know, the one thing that I really love about your school, and you and I, again, we go back, and Don Wilson, a good friend of both of ours, who is a Cross alumni, right? And he invited me last year, and our schedules kind of didn't match up, but there was a handful of former Cross alumni that came back for homecoming. I mean, holy moly, man, you guys were packed every Friday night, but you were really packed. I mean, people paid it on their schedule in July or whatever you guys put out that homecoming is, and they come back. I don't care if they're in Atlanta, Charlotte, and Jacksonville. They're sitting in the lakes in Cross, South Carolina on homecoming weekend, and they're grilling out, they're cooking out. I mean, there's probably some of the best food you can imagine sitting in that parking lot right before the game's kicked off. So first of all, tell us a little bit about how great it is to have such a great support of the Alumni Association. And how do you stay away from the food before kickoff, Coach? Because I tell you, you know, I saw some of the pictures, and I thought to myself, man, I don't know how you do it.
Well, to answer your first question, you know, how do I feel about the alumni base? You know, we have a basketball tournament that's located in Cross during the month of July at the at Inspires Landing. That's a park located in Cross, and that has become as big as our homecoming almost. And so anytime that our people have a chance to come back home and support the younger kids, they're going to do that. And the fact that they are able to do that on a yearly basis, twice a year, is special. And sometimes I sit back and I watch and I just take my phone out and I'll video record or I'll take pictures, because it's really unreal. If you've never been to a Cross homecoming or you've never been to our basketball tournament at Cross Park in July, you're really missing out on a special occasion and a special event. Our kids, when they play in those type of atmospheres, it's like a Clemson, it's like a Carolina to them, it's like a, you know, it's a big school event. And, you know, I brag, you know, I don't know if there's another school in the Lowcountry that does homecoming or does that tournament during the summer like Cross. So, you know, it's just special to see. I think all of the news stations between Channel 2, 4, and 5, they know all about it, because, you know, they are reminded and they're asking me, you know, well, when is homecoming? You know, and that's the big thing, you know, when is homecoming? Everybody wants to know that date. So it gives our kids a chance to excel in front of that type of crowd. And because, you know, everybody's not going to college. But, you know, for one night, they get a chance again to have that type of college feel. So, you know, we're excited about that.
Well, the first thing, Coach, that we all want to know, is me, Smitty, and Eugene, is when is the basketball game in July? And we'll be there for that, first of all. Second of all, we, of course, do want to keep up with you on homecoming. Now, the other two guys are coaching. One guy has just moved over to Berkeley. We'll talk about that if you want to a little later. And, of course, Eugene getting the opportunity to be the special teams coordinator. So he's a little bit closer to you, Coach. And then Smitty, of course, here on the staff with us as well. He's the head football coach over at King Street. So it'd just be me and a few of my closest other buddies as we'll come up for homecoming this year. And you can write that in your planner. You'll see me this year. And maybe we'll do a little show right before, a little pregame, a little college game day with that Friday night light atmosphere with you guys over there at Cross, Coach. Now, you mentioned earlier your time at Timberland. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there's actually a pretty close connection to you and this other guy at Timberland. Man, how exciting is that game when it hits on the schedule, Coach? Tell us a little bit about that and you know, your thoughts of having a team like Timberland that close. And I believe it's got to be a pretty close rival for you two guys, right?
Well, it has become a rival. You know, I have, you know, we've been playing Timberland since 2001, and we haven't won many games. We've been fortunate to win, you know, the last few. But, you know, to me, it hasn't been the rival to where, you know, we win, they win, you know, that type of deal. But, you know, as far as recently, we feel as though we've made it into a rivalry because the games have been close. I think you've seen both teams play extremely hard, and it just so happens to where the head coach at Timberland is my first cousin. You know, our dad were brothers when they were alive, and so you know, and we talk every day, and we pull for each other every day. You know, I want him to win all of his games except one. He wants the same for me, and I'm just, you know, that rivalry itself is a good one. And here's the thing, you know, for Cross kids, I think I'm able to garner up a little bit more, what's the word I want to use, excitement, for lack of better words, because I tell the kids when we approach that game, you know, Cross is still Cross. Timberland is made up of St. Stephen's, which everybody knows that was a big rival. Macedonia, another big rival, and Kanehoe, another big rival. And I tell my kids all the time, you know, you guys get a chance to compete against three different schools because you have three communities that are feeding into that school. And so, you know, they take it upon themselves to give it all they have when that week comes up because, you know, nobody expects us to win. Nobody expects us to compete. And for us to still just be Cross, not combine with anybody, and compete with that school and the other schools that we compete with is special to them. So I'm able to really, really, you know, hone in on that and get those guys focused and ready to play.
And there's got to be some common connection with some family ties, not just for the coaches but players as well, because it's geographically they're not that far apart, only spread – was separated by a lake, if you will. So I can imagine there's a few cousins that are probably used to playing on Thanksgiving in the backyard at Grandma's house, and now on Friday nights they're going against each other under the bright lights. When you start to think about it, Coach, and I got a couple of questions we're going to ask each coach. So I want to get to those before we get you out of here. High school football changing a little bit, Coach, around us, and you're starting to see its ugly head kind of rear itself, possibility of the lines being taken down, open enrollment. You can go where you want to go as long as you can get there and you meet all the requirements. You know, that's possibly around the corner. Of course, we just saw this whole multiplier thing, Coach, and then, oh, NIL. There's a lot of things happening. And as a guy who was a former athletic director, of course, you've worn many hats at Cross, and now, you know, have the opportunity to just focus on the football game, which has got its own entity. I tell you what, you guys work 24/7, 365. Tell me your thoughts on where you see high school football now to where you remember it was, even as an athletic director and as a head football coach 14 years ago when you stepped on that campus and took over the head football coach.
Well, you know, you are exactly right. I see there's so many changes that has taken place with a sports period, and that's not just high school, that's rec leagues, there's no more rec leagues, to be honest with you. There's now, you know, your AAUs that have taken over, and the AAUs is not just your community, but it's your community combined with somebody else's community. And then, you know, when those kids are playing with each other, then you have access to be recruited to other schools that are not in your community. And so the pressure is put on these kids as soon as they're able to put on pads. And looking at it, you know, from the high school standpoint, you know, I see the transfers. I see the kids that are being recruited. I see the kids that, you know, they think that, okay, if I go to this school, I'm going to get recognized, or if I go to this school, I'm going to have a chance to win a state championship. And the same thing is done in college. And you know, to me, you know, we the adults created that monster. And, you know, it really makes you question, well, where is the loyalty? Well, this is what I have to say about all of that. You know, we're going to have that. Those things are probably not going to ever change. I think you're going to have NIL, you're going to have transfer portal, you're going to have all those different things that comes up. But it all boils down to relationships. And what type of guy are you as far as a human being? So we are human beings before we are professionals. And so, you know, are you the type of guy that's going to go and recruit from another school? Is that what you know, is that the type of guy that you want to be? And if you are that type of guy that wants to recruit at these schools or off of this or off of that so that you can get all the talent at your school, well, what does that say about your coaching ability? I mean, do you need top talent to win a state championship? Are you not satisfied with your own teachings or the coaches around you that are able to develop fundamentals and techniques that are able to – that your kids can take and translate that into wins? You know, it all boils down to relationships. You know, to me, I can have a 30,000 $1 wedding, but after the wedding is over, what's the relationship that's going to be between me and my wife? And so, you know, it all boils down to relationships. And so the kids that we come in contact with, you know, they know that we not only care, but there's genuine love for our kids. We coach these kids hard. We get on them hard. We chastise them when they need chastising, but, you know, they never leave us hungry. They never leave us having an opportunity to share something with us, and we share something back that may brighten their day. They never come to school and we not ask them, you know, how was their night, or how you doing? It's just a genuine feeling. So, you know, my big thing is we are in a world that is forever changing, but what should never change is how you deal with young people, what type of character you want in your program, what type of character you are showing as the adult, what type of character that you are allowing to transpire in your program. So that's what we all about. And so, yeah, it's hard. You know, things have definitely changed from where they were, but one thing that's going to remain the same for us at Cross is how we deal with young people, how we deal with type of human beings we are, and that's not going to change. So if a young man comes to Cross and he feels as though he wants to leave, you know what, I don't want to stop you, because at the end of the day, I know what type of people we are. You know, we have put kids in college like everybody else. You know, yeah, we may not have the Clemson, Carolinas, the Florida States, Miamis, you know, come through Cross every day. But if you shine, a diamond can be spotted from a long miles away. And we got some special young men in our program right now that are doing the work, and they're being seen. And it's at a small high school right in Cross, South Carolina.
Hanging out with the one and only Coach Sean Wright. He is the head football coach over at Cross, the Trojans, here on Southern Sports Central tonight. A state championship winning coach, by the way. And I'm telling you, 3, 4, 5 different trophy cases full of region championships. Coach, we talk a lot about you, but what was the coach that inspired you, that you look back and as you get ready for your pregame and you're kind of thinking about things, maybe it's another, you just came off a tough loss, or maybe you're trying to stay humble after a big win. Who was that coach in your life that you're able to be in so many other players' life, but who was that one coach that you always look back and think, man, I'm so glad I played for him and I stuck through it, because I'm telling you, I'm half the reason I am who I am on Friday nights because of what he did for me.
Oh, man. There's so many. you know, when I was coming up, you know, my dad was such a big influence for me. He taught at Cross Elementary School, and what he would do on our way home is, when I was in elementary school, was he would drive by the football field at about 3:30, and he never would pull in the school to watch me, to let me watch practice, but he would slow the car down enough to where I would get about a minute of just watching the blue helmets run around on the field. And, you know, that created a dream. And once I was enabled to get to middle school and, you know, be at the high school, Coach Rose, you know, he was the coach at the time. And I told him as an eighth grader, I said, man, I can't wait to play for you. And, you know, he was just one of those guys to where, you know, I saw the toughness that he coached with. I saw the players that came up under him, and it was just so much pride to put that blue helmet on. So Coach Rose was one of them. But to be honest with you, the guy that I think every player that played at Cross from the late 80s to the late 90s would tell you, our JV coach, Coach Richard Ravenel. I you know, that guy would honestly do anything for us. You know, he created an atmosphere the where it didn't matter who we played. You know, we just never felt as though we were a small school. And it started from him and that JV staff. So Richard Ravenel was the guy that was so influential to me. And I was, you know, I'm indebted to him to this day. You know, that drive that I have, it all started from him. And so I give him a lot of praise. I was able to, when we won a state championship, give him a ring, and that meant more to me than anything. You know, he was one of the guys that, you know, he had that state championship ring, and even though he wasn't there during that time, it was just his teachings and the things that we learned from him that allowed us to become who we were. And so Richard Ravenel is someone who's very he's been an inspiration to me.
And he's doing it well himself, by the way. That is the one and only Coach Sean Wright. He's got him a state championship ring, multiple other opportunities and things, but along with a slew of region championships up there with the Cross Trojans. Coach, the final thing before we get you out of here, and we hope that you hang out in the green room, as we're going to bring in three more coaches right after you here tonight. So hopefully you hang out with us for the rest of the night and listen in. But for a young guy that's coming up, next week we're going to have the youngsters, if we call them that, because some of these guys may not be youngsters, but just new to the game of high school football and head coaching, will join us next week. But for those guys and the other young men that are looking to get into coaching, give us some words of advice and some inspiration that you can leave us with here tonight for those young guys who are getting ready to get their head coaching whistle.
The biggest thing that I think I have learned over time is, you know, we want to win. Everybody, you know, we want to win games, and a lot of times, you know, that determines whether we keep a job or lose a job. But you got to understand this. When you play a contest, two teams, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. That's a give. That's a fact. You know, you can't get around that. You know, these games will never, ever end in a tie. And so with that being said, don't worry about the outcome. You know, the outcome is going to be there, but it's going to be based off of what you do prior to the contest. And what I mean by that is what's your philosophy as far as your approach to young people. We know the pressures that they are under. If you are there just to coach and just to win games, you may want to find another profession. You know, to me, if you're going to coach this game, it has to mean more than what the score says. You are going to win your share games. You're going to lose your share games. But it's the in-between things that matter the most. And I realize that, you know, if I care about these kids before I coach the kid, then when the kid plays for me, he's going to play at a level to where he's going to make all the bad calls that I make work. I think if you ask any one of these coaches coming up, you know, it's all about the relationship that you have with your coaches, with your community members, with your administration, and down to your kids. Love on them. You know, you're not going to win every game. You're not going to lose every game. But what you're going to have an opportunity to do is you're going to have an opportunity to change your life. And that can happen every single day. You know, to be an influence on a young child, I mean, I don't want to sound too religious here, but I think God smiles on that. You know, when you can change a young person's outlook on life in a positive manner, I mean, what more do you want to be as far as a coach? The wins are going to come. I tell my kids all the time, don't worry about the school board. Don't worry about the clock. Let us do that. You just play every play. And when you can let those kids know and understand that you care for them outside of, you know, how many touchdowns they can score or how many tackles they can make or how many interceptions they can make, you will be surprised at how hard those kids are going to play for you. And at the end of the day, every team that we have lost against at Cross, I am proud to say that they just worked harder than we did, and they deserve to win. And so there's not many games where I felt as though, you know, a team that beat us didn't deserve to win. And we're proud of that because we want to let our kids know that, you know, it's not about the wins or losses. It's about the in-between things. So, you know, my biggest advice is just, you know, treat the kids like they are your own kids and let the chips fall where they may.
Coach, you did an amazing job. We appreciate it. I look forward to catching up with you here very, very soon. I'll catch up with you off the air. But, again, thank you for all that you do on and off the field. And all those long days and endless nights and all the kids that you picked up and you pull in the yard and you see three or four cars on the driveway and you're thinking to yourself, I'm bringing you home and you've got all these cars here, but we keep doing what we do, Coach. So God bless you and continue doing it, what you're doing, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for starting off the show on the right note, Coach.
Hey, thank you, guys. I really had an amazing time, and thank you guys for recognizing me and Cross High School. It really means a lot to us. And I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of the guys.
You got it, Coach. He'll put you in the green room. We got to go to break, guys. Top of the hour. Don't worry. The bus is on the way to Bamberg Earhart. We're hanging out with the one and only Coach Corey Crosby coming out of break, guys. Don't go anywhere. More Southern Sports Central next.
And now, back to Southern Sports Central with Richie Altman and Eugene Benton taking your calls at 323-784-9681.
And welcome back, everybody. Hour one is done, but hour two is here, and so is the one and only coming to you from Bamberg, South Carolina, at Bamberg Earhart High School. That is, of course, Coach Corey Crosby. Welcome, Coach Crosby. Welcome to Southern
Man, how y'all guys doing?
Man, I just hope I can bring I hope I can bring the energy that I saw that you had in Myrtle Beach the other week. Well, about a month or two ago now, man. I thought you were going to go in the pads and put it down, but you had those kids believing at the beach, brother. That was a heck of a performance by your defensive staff.
Oh, man, I love defense, man. It's a gift, man. I just like just waking up every morning, get a chance to call defense and have fun with kids.
Well, you have done an amazing job, Coach, and I do want to say thanks for joining us here tonight as we continue our trip around the state with some of our five-star coaches, and they're even better human beings. And you, of course, fit this one, Coach, as you are now, I believe, hanging out at your second season over there at Bamberg Earhart. You're 21-5. Put that down and play it back for me, man. That's impressive. And the guy that hired you, I think he might have known you a little bit, right? So he knew he hired the right guy for the job, Coach. Tell us a little bit about who is Coach Corey Crosby. Of course, I know, if I'm not mistaken, your alma mater is Benedict, one of the best horn sections, by the way, I've ever heard in the world of the band music. But when you look at it, Coach, kind of give us a breakdown of what landed you where you are today, and give us a little history on who is actually Coach Corey Crosby.
Man, I started off, I played football at Benedict, was a linebacker there, graduated, and Carlos K gave me my first job. Man, I was coming out of college, and he took a chance on me, and went down to Allendale Fairfax for a couple of years and started off as a linebacker coach. And then he said, man, listen, you got a gift, and gave me a chance to call defense. And I had Courtney Vincent that went off to Clemson. And then we had a great run up in Allendale. And then my brother gave me a chance to come back home when Ron Duncan was here. And he was coaching defense, and he was coaching linebackers. His defensive coordinator at the time. He's like, listen, you come home, I'm going to give up linebackers. I move defensive end, which I know why defensive line, because he had Ricky Sapper, Daquan Bowers. Anybody would want to move back. That year I came back, and I coached under him as a linebacker coach. And when he got his job opportunity to be head coach, he moved me to defensive coordinator, man. We had a great run, man, a great run together. It was awesome. I had a chance to play for 3 state championships, won a bunch of lower states, and won a bunch of regions, man, and touch a bunch of kids at the same time with some great players. And then, I left and took the Black Hitter job for a year, and went 9-3. Had a chance to come back home. Robert Williams was our offensive coordinator when we made this run. He became the head coach and asked me to come back home, and I jumped on it, man. I jumped on it, came back, my family, and we went back to a state championship with him, and then he said, listen, I'm going to step back and just be the AD, and I'm going to give you a chance to be, to run this program. And I did. And, we first year went 9-3, had a little rough, came in second in the region. We was young up front. And then last year, I had a chance to go back to a little state championship. It was 12-2. And, and that's how it started. But we got a good year, got a good team coming back. And, man, it's been a blessing just to go 21-5 in Bamberg and get a chance to coach good kids here. Our kids play hard football, and they work hard. So that's me, man. I'm just a great defensive guy. I got a high offensive coordinator, and I love defense. I'm like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. My hand's gonna be on that defense, and it's the fire of it. That is me. I mean, that's what I do. So there's Corey Crosby, defensive coordinator, that's love to have fun and coach kids and have hard nosed defense, man.
Now, Coach, first of all, we of course are located in the lower state down here with you guys down here out of Charleston, but. When you guys went together, put together a great staff for the North-South game and really did an amazing job. I mean, I was there from Thursday into the game on Saturday. You and I had a chance to chalk it up throughout the week as I was doing the show on the radio there with Phil Kornblut. But I tell you, I'm sitting on the sideline, and I'm watching you, just coming out of that locker room. And I looked at the guy beside me, and I don't remember who it might have been, Scott, actually. And I looked at him, and I said, it's about to go down. He goes, what you mean? I said, you see Coach Crosby? If these dudes don't run out of a wall right now, it'd never happen. And it wasn't much longer after that. I think the entire team runs into the end zone. And I knew from that moment on there was no chance that team in the North was going to get much past you guys, because that defense was smash mouth and shutting it down from the corners to the inside all night long.
I mean, we had a great staff. Well, Walt Wilson did a great job of preparing us for the week. And our kids brought in, man. I tell our kids, hey, any team I try to coach is all about you know, buying into the system, you know, buying into everybody's going to look good if you buy into the system, regardless if we have 11 players or 22 players. And all 22 of them guys in North South brought in, man. They brought in from day one, the time we met with them. You know, we picked the right kids, and the coaches nominated the right players. And when that week we got there, man, we just we preach about buying into the system, doing the right thing, and having fun doing it, and be physical at a point of attack, you know, and stop the run. You know, we talked about that, and the kids did it, man. And DBs just flew around and got picks. And I mean, make it simple, man. I tell our kids, you know, we're gonna be simple, we're gonna be sound, and we're gonna be violent at what we do. And they did that, man. And it's just a mindset of it, you know. It's how you coach it, you know, and the kids got to trust you. I heard Sean say that, man. Kids got to trust you, and they got to buy into you. They got to believe you care about them. And every kid I coach, man, I want to build a relationship with them, want, you know, something, learn something about them. And once them kids knew that, they knew that, you know, Coach Crosby, man, he cared. We was on the field, we did field work, you know, but we was off the field. I wanted to know, man, well, you know, who your girlfriend? How everything going? I mean, what you want to do when you graduate? Stuff like that. And them kids like, hey, man, you know, we eating with them. Coach Crosby pretty cool, and they going to fly around for you once they believe in that. So,
well, I tell you what, there's a lot of flying around over there with the Red Raiders. We'll go back to your campus, back to your field there. As, you know, we watch what you guys have done. And, of course, Eugene and I got a chance to work with your nephews there. You know, Casey, by the way, another linebacker that you've had your hands on that played at the University of South Carolina, and I think could have played at a lot of levels. And one of the famous memes for the Gamecock Nation, when they go on Twitter, of course, that kid doing the little shimmy in the end zone, that would be your nephew doing it, Coach. But, man, you mentioned Daquan Bowers. You mentioned Ricky Satt. Ricky, of course, the big-time guy that comes on here a lot of times. He's done some great things after the game of football, and Daquan, of course, as well. But, you know, I'm looking at this list that's in front of me, Coach, and, man, I mean, you know, I talk about the importance of small-town USA and what it means for high school Friday night football. I mean, when I go to Bamberg, there's no doubt in my mind that on Friday night, there's nobody anywhere but the high school football stadium, right? You got them sitting on the bleachers, hanging out around the fence, looking through the fence, doing whatever they can to get a peek of those kids, because you guys just produce talent after talent. There's not a lot of rebuilding, but a lot of reloading, because the kids that are watching those kids continue to work out with the kids. And, again, the camps that you guys put together, the energy that you guys put together, it really sets a standard over there with you guys, and that's why your record at 21-5 is so as impressive as it is here in a couple of years of coaching. When you look at Bamberg and you look at the dynamics of this small town, what is it that makes Bamberg and the Red Raider Nation so strong year after year?
I mean, it started way back in the days when, you know, Coach Leon Maxwell, you know, everybody didn't realize I was a ball boy when Coach Maxwell first kind of jumped on scene around here and took us to the state. And, I mean, our kids grow up. You know, my wife is a first-grade teacher, and them kids grow up want to be a Red Raider. You know, they know what that diamond stands for. They understand the work they put in to have that top-notch team. And, it just every kid. My son grew up watching KC. You know, was a ball boy watching him. You know, I mean, you look at that list. I mean, Daquan grew up watching them guys. You know, so I mean, that's it, man. It's a tradition. You know, everybody understands this is what we do. I mean, we're in the weight room right now, and we have 55 kids in the weight room every afternoon. They're getting it, and they don't complain. They start at 3:15. They go run track at 4:30. You know. They understand that's what we do, and that's where we're going to get us where we at. You know, we always talk about we don't have talent. We think hard work going to be talent any day, you know. You know, we have talented kids, but we tell our kids, you know, you have to work, you know. It's a lot of great kids around the world, a lot of great kids in the state. If you don't work, they're going to beat you. And that's what we sell our kids, and that's the program. I mean, it's a blue-collar program. I mean, we're just going to work hard, and that's just how we built it. And, I mean, it's going to stay that way, you know.
Hanging out with Coach Corey Crosby as he is doing it big up there at Bamberg Earhart. The Red Raiders winning and winning in style with an impressive record, Coach, when you look at this. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what is your ritual on a Friday night? Is there something, things that you kind of do that you know, when you became, you know, your dreams and aspirations, I would imagine, when you became a coordinator, said, you know what, I want to be a head coach one day. That's my goal. That's my end goal. And now that you're there, is there something that you kind of do, the same food maybe you eat the night before, or some type of music you listen to as you're preparing for another big Friday night game?
Yeah. I mean, every Friday, we have team walk through at 3:05. Our kids come to the gym. I know, first of all, we have a team devotion. We have a local preacher come in and do devotion with our kids at 3:05. And I always try to give my kids that. You know, I give them a chance to say, you know, Coach, I want to be involved with that. Or, Coach, I always want to kind of give them that religion. I was brought up in the church. My mom was a preacher, and I'm big on that, you know, about faith. And so we do that, and we have a team walk through. And then we have a pregame meal. I usually don't eat with the team, but our pregame meal never changed since Coach Crosby been. Coach Kevin Crosby started this, and we've been taking it on since Robert and myself. We get chicken strips, mashed potatoes, green beans, and a fruit cup. That's what we get every Friday, you know. So I tell it like, you know, I sit and eat pregame meal with the kids, you know, and then I come home for an hour and I get a chance to relax and get away. Our coach is kind of passing out equipment and stuff like that, and the kids kind of, they get a chance to get away from me. So I come home and I sit down for a little while, and I'm a big Heat of the Night fan, you know, so I watch Heat of the Night. I record it. I get a chance to watch that for an hour, and I go out back to the field and get a chance to do our, you know, this, you know, got the offensive meeting and defensive meeting and special teams, and then we go out for a walkthrough. But I listen to you know, these kids, I kind of listen to old school rap, you know, the DMX and stuff. I have my little headphones on. I listen to that. I do a little walkthrough. But I do it on the field. But I do it every Friday. That's my routine. A home game, a away game. If it's a away game, I kind of tend to come home a little early. But that's it, man. I mean, but, you know, as a head coach, it's just different. My first year, man, it was flying by because, you know, you don't know how that's going to be till you become a head coach. You know, everybody says, I want to be a head coach. There's a lot of things before you get on the field. You know, I tell people, it's a lot of things got to happen before you play that game on the field. And I had to get used to that. And, you know, because as a defensive coordinator, you're just ready to call plays and all this and that. You don't have to handle, but Coach, can I go back? My mama calling me this and that. You know, all the riffraff that goes through it. You know, as a defensive coordinator, I didn't have to handle that. That was Butch and Robert deal, but then it became my, you know, that was my, it's you coach now, you know,
right.
Coach Caldwell, you know, can I go home? But that was it. But now, this year, it went smooth, and I mean, I'm excited for year 3-5 program. This, and I told our kids that, you know, 9-3, then 12-2, I'm just excited about where our program is headed at now, you know.
So you got 9-3, Coach, 12-2, I guess next year, I mean, it's state championship, right? I mean, that's, you're doing the trend. I mean, you're going the right direction. That's why I tell everybody, say, your job is to win one more. So you got to win 13 next year, Coach. I got that circled on the calendar for you. But when you look at stuff now, Coach, when you look at it now, and even the days that you and I played football, man, it has changed. I just mentioned this with Coach Wright earlier. You know, it is a little different. You know, they always say kids haven't changed. Well, they have changed. In my opinion, they have changed. Now, you're a little closer to certain kids. You know, I remember a basketball coach one time said, kids haven't changed, we've changed. Well, no, that's not the case anymore. And social media has kind of helped push a lot of things. And COVID, you know, whether we want to understand it or not, has really changed a lot of football. And then, of course, the three topics that we talk about is open enrollment, the +3, and now NIL. Tell us your thoughts and wrap your arms around, if you could, Coach, about where football was and where you see it at now and where are we going, man? I mean, is this a very slippery slope that we're hanging out right now going towards the next few years of high school football?
It's changed a lot, man. I mean, I listen to Sean. I mean, there's now kids get up and transfer on you in a minute, you know, and it's about, you know, with college, you know, the NIL is just taking over. Kids, is, you know, you got a third-screen running back asking for $100,000 because he's a third-screen running back. You know, then that trick us to high school, you know, because while I'm not playing, if I'm not playing, I'm going to go 18, 20 miles down the road, you know. And it's I'm telling you, it's days have changed, you know. Kids now, and not even kids, it's parents, you know. They're entitled, you know. It's all, you know, they're entitled, you know. So that's the stuff that have just kind of made the game, now I ain't going to say ugly, but you got to adapt to it. you know, getting on kids now, you got to kind of coach kids different. Like Sean said, you got to love them up. The old school coaching and brawl beating them how it used to be back when we was in ninth and brawl beat, but like the 3-a-days and hey, get it right. You know, you gotta be careful how you do that because now kids they'll get up and they'll you look around and you don't have nobody on your program, you know. And but you got like Sean, you gotta care about the kids. You know, you gotta care for them, and that's the thing. But you know what? I mean, kids gonna leave now. That's today's time. I mean, I had kids leave me. You know, kids they came up, coach. I'm not gonna be here. My mom is moving to so and so. And you know that's and I tell kids that all the time. You know, if you're not happy here, understand. You know, you need to kind of find a way and where you happy at. But it's changing. It's changing. I mean, I don't know if it's good for the sport. But it's changing. It's changing. I'm telling you, it's changing a lot. You know, college football is. You know, I just look at the game. You know, even coaches, man, it's no loyalty in it. You know, it's no loyalty in it. You know, so but and you ask the kids to be loyal to them. You know, be loyal to me, and you're not loyal to a kid. But it's tough. You know, it's tough. You know, and I tell our kids
now,
all
coach,
the time, if I'm gonna make a move.
Go ahead, coach.
I tell our kids all the time, you know, what I you know, we got a saying, and I just told our kids that we got a saying, you know, family, you know, forget about me, I love you. And out of the day, I changed it. I said, love is sacrifice. I said, no, I want you to sacrifice nothing for the program. I want you to invest in the program. You know, don't sacrifice because that's something that you don't want to sacrifice. You want to invest. You know, it means if it's winning, I heard it today, if it's winning a championship, then I'm going to invest all I got in this program. If it means I'm going to win a championship, that's good. But if it means I'm going to get a chance to graduate and get a high school diploma, go to college, go to the military, or get a job, because I invest in this program, then I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. You know, and then I tell you, I don't hide nothing from my kids. Anything, you know, even if it's a job opportunity, I talk about, you know, because, you know, kids going to hear it, you know, on social media, they going to see it. You know, I tell kids all the time, you know, somebody will call or anything like that. I'm like, gosh, yeah, you know, that might be true. But before I make a move, I'm going to talk to the family, you know, because we are family.
Right. Now, Coach, one thing that I do want to ask you, we talk about rules. We talk about all the changes. Let's say you're the commissioner for the day. That's a big role. A lot of people think it's easy until you get to do it. As you probably thought, being a head coach might be a little easier than you did it. When you look at it, Coach, what is one rule that you would change in high school football, and why is that a rule that you would like to see change going forward?
I mean, one rule I think I'd change is make sure it's fair across, which now it's fair across the board a little bit with the multiplier, but, you know, if you're going to have a kid go to any school he wants to, if he goes to a charter school, then you do that for every public school, you know. And that's the only rule I think I'd change. But I think I look at a lot of, you know, you got some charter, a kid could go to any school he wants to, you know. I mean, if he goes to a charter school, you know. I think that's the rule I'd change. Open up, you know, and open enrollment, you know. So that's the rule I'd change. And I think it'd be fair across the board. But that's me. That's me in a small town, so.
Sure. Now, Coach, one thing that I've always looked at, and I've said this for years, is why don't the high school rules mirror the NFL and almost say the college mirror the NFL? And that is, of course, should we have a tackle box? All right, should it be 1 foot or 2 feet? Why are they changing the game in high school differently than the game in college? You're preparing these kids in high school to become doctors and lawyers. Why aren't we preparing high school football players to be NFL football players and keep the rules the same? Your thoughts on not really say protecting the quarterback, but at least give him a chance to get rid of the ball by giving him a pocket, and then a few of the other rules that maybe we'd like to see kind of image or mirror the same as you see in college.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my son a quarterback, so you know his mom gonna say protect the quarterback, you know. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, I think you know that we need to kind of follow the college rules a little bit, you know, and. I ain't going to say pro because pro is a little different. And but I think if you ask some kids now, every kid you talk to, every high school kid, they think they want to go, you know, they want to play college football. So I think them rules kind of need
right.
to mirror together and prepare the kids, you know. I mean, that's the thing. The NFL is a little different, you know, but college, every kid want to, you know, get a chance to go play college ball. So I think we need to kind of mirror them community college rules, and that's why I do.
Yeah. I agree with you. Now, Coach, I'm going to end it with the same thing that I got in with Coach Wright. Of course, you know, you've got young guys listening, some up-and-coming guys. Give me some advice that we could pass on to some of our young listeners or maybe a coach that's in his first year or two himself as a head football coach. What advice would you give these young guys as they begin their journey to becoming the next head football coach in their chapters?
You know, get around an Ola coach and be yourself. I got a lot of Ola mentors that been coaching ball. You know, my uncle coached at Thompson, Georgia for years. I get a chance to call him and talk to him and chop it up with him about stuff. And you know, my brother Kevin been a coach for a while, and you know, he's away. You know, now he's gonna come back on my staff and be like a senior assistant. You know, somebody that I get a chance to bounce things off of. And then you know, Robert is right there in my building that I get a chance to talk to. If I was a young coach, you know, but do it your way, you know, do it your way, but make sure you have somebody that you could, a mentor that you could go back and call, and because things going to bounce. There's going to be adversity set in. And any job you take your first couple of years, I mean, it could be 10 years, adversity is going to set in, and you don't have every answer to a problem. So you have to kind of talk to somebody through that, you know. That's the main thing I do, you know, because that's how I handle right now, you know, even in off season. You know, things that come up with kids and situations, how you need to handle it before you end up kicking a kid off. You know, how would you handle that? Well, coach, just look at it this way, and then you get a chance to go back and evaluate it and talk to the kid. But make sure you have a strong mentor that you can so you can bounce ideas off of.
And coach, the final thing, let's give some love to Mama there at the house. We always give a tip of the cap to the wives there at the house. They know that they're probably the MVP win, lose, or draw on Friday nights. How excited is the wife coming in September and August when you've been home a little longer than you usually are from August to about, what, December? But by, I would imagine, July, she's probably thinking, ain't about time for 2-a-days, Coach. Tell us a little bit about how she handles things and how great she is for you to be that big supporter at home.
Man, she's great. I mean, she sacrificed a lot to get to where I'm at now, you know. When I had 2 boys growing up, she was there to take them when we was away practicing, and Chanson and Jacoby was playing rec ball. She was taking them to practice. I think she the one who taught Chanson how to throw a football. You know, I mean, everybody look at all the kids. You know, she worked outside with them, but she's great, man. She's a first grade teacher, and she understands, you know, how coaching works. You know, she'll kind of tell me. Sometimes she'll tell me when I'm doing some stuff wrong. You should have ran the football, or you should have did this or what. She's great, man. She's great. I mean, she's there. She understands how it works. The hours you have to put in to be good. But like I tell everybody, when I'm on the field, I'm on the field. When I'm away from the field, I'm kind of home now. I had to learn that, you know, as I got older. And but I mean, she's excellent. Friday night, she's at every game. She's sitting right on that 35-yard line, about 8 bleachers up, watching it. She's at the weigh game. She bring her chair, and she'll sit on the fence. And it was amazing what she said about the fence, because that's where everybody on the fence, and they can coach. And I laugh because, you know, and she's probably the most hardest on Chance. And my boy Jacoby, when he played basketball, I'm coaching these guys, you know, because she kind of know the small things are. Chance should have threw that ball to so-and-so. He shouldn't have thrown that intercept. He should have held it. And, you know, but she's great, man. I mean, I couldn't. I take my hat off, because I don't know if I could do what she do, you know, the every day of being a coach's wife. It's tough. It's tough.
It definitely is, Coach. And thank her from us, of course, for what she's able to do. So that you can do what you do, Coach, we do want to thank you for your time here tonight. We're going to invite you to hang out in the green room, because we're going to head – back a little closer to Charleston. We'll hit on 26 and head over to Woodland with a good buddy of yours as well. Coach Ford's going to join us next out of break.
You know,
Coach, but I do want to say,
because Coach Ford played high school football with me. We stay in the same neighborhood, and man, I just a great guy, man. I'm gonna tell you, I mean, it was amazing to see a tree that came off of Wayne Farmer and them guys, but Coach Ford do a great job. Just try to steal a couple plays from him, because we play him this year, and I wouldn't mind get a couple plays from him.
I got you, Coach. And listen, do me a favor. I'm going to catch up with you off the air, but I do want to hit one of your games this year. So if you can let me know a homecoming game I'm going to be taking some road trips in the season this year, and you guys are definitely on my schedule to hit here in the low country, or in the lower state as well, Coach. But congratulations on two phenomenal years, and we look forward to 13 or more, Coach. That's the number on the sheet here for you next year. So we've kind of set the bar for you heading into the
Appreciate
spring.
Appreciate it. Thank you, all guys.
All right, Coach. God bless you. Always a pleasure, Coach. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, guys, we've got to take another break. We do want to thank the folks over there at Bamberg Earhart as we are up against the break. Coming up next, we're going to be hanging out with Eddie Ford from Woodland.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my daylight clothes or is it just my daylight soul? What I do ain't make-believe. People say I sit and try, but when it comes to being daylight, it's just me, myself, and I.
Now, for the utmost reports on sports of all sorts, let's join Richie Altman and Eugene Benton on Southern Sports Central.
And welcome, everybody, as we are back with another five-star coach here coming to you all the way from Woodland High School, the one, the only, Coach Eddie Ford. Coach, good evening, and welcome to Southern Sports Central once again, my friend.
How you doing, Rich?
Man, we had to bring you in some entertainment tonight, man. You get stone cold. I figured it was pretty good there. As many years as you've been doing it. I don't know if you got anything going on over there, buddy, but I feel like I'm ready to get after it. You guys are killing it tonight, and I just want to say thanks for hanging out with me and some of our closest friends around the state.
Oh, no question. No question. I mean, anytime I got a chance to talk ball or promote our program or anything on that sort, I love it. I love it. I definitely appreciate you for considering me this opportunity to talk about our program.
Now, I think it was a pretty good segue, Coach. We just had on another guy that you played high school football with, that you're alumni, by the way, who coaches at your alumni, right? Bamberg Earhart's very own. Mr. Crosby was asking a few questions. I don't know if you were online when he was talking about it there towards the end. He said to try to get a few players and plays from you because I think you guys are hanging out on a Friday night coming to you soon. My only question is, are y'all going to Bamberg or is Bamberg coming to Woodland?
I think they're coming to Woodland the first time around. So it'll be a little different. But, yeah, me and Coach Crosby, I kind of caught the tail end of it. But, no, we grew up together right around the corner from each other, played ball together from 7th, 8th grade all the way through high school. And I was a couple years older, but, you know, he was a bigger kid. You know, he had football DNA. His brother was a really good player, so he was always around. And, you know, we just – nobody ever would have thought that we'd have got into this coaching thing, and he'd be back at Bamberg coaching his alma mater, and I'd be right down the road at Woodland coaching those guys.
You guys are doing it well, both of you guys, having a hell of a career at head coaching. I mean, watching what you've done, and you and I actually got a chance to get to know each other pretty well during COVID. Is, you know, I teamed up with Ken Brown and the guys at the Blitz, and before that it was all the Upstate getting the Blitz Bowl or what have you. And then Ken and I were able to work together to put the lower state versus the upper state, and we brought the first ever Senior Bowl to your backyard. And, of course,
I tell
you
what,
got a chance to coach that, and what a blast that was.
Oh, no question. And it was during the COVID year, and that's back when, you know, there weren't any all-star games for any kids. I don't think North South did anything that year. Not sure about – I don't think the Shrine Bowl did either. And it was a great opportunity for some kids to finish off their high school careers, particularly kids that, you know, if you're in a situation where you didn't make the playoffs or you didn't, you know, play for a state championship or you didn't quite have the senior year that you thought you would, and kids that got into those games, I mean, the kids were grateful, the coaches were grateful, and it was, I mean, it was a breath of fresh air considering that no one else is doing anything like that. And you and Ken and the Blitz Bowl, you guys were so far in front of it and, you know, willing to go out to do that when nobody else would, I thought was a major blessing. And the good thing is by being the only bowl really that year, we had great players in that game. I mean, we have guys that I still watch guys now. The kid from Myrtle Beach, he's playing in North Carolina, and he's actually, like, playing. T.J. Sanders that played in the game, I mean, he's killing it at South Carolina. I mean, just to name a few guys, but we had some really great players, and we had a really good staff. Actually, me and Coach Crosby, he was on the staff.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yep. And I think his brother was on the staff, too. I think you had both Crosbys with you, didn't you?
Yes. Both of those guys were on the staff.
It was very fun.
Yes, Rodney Mooney, he was on staff. So we had a really good coaching staff that year. We had very older, knowledgeable guys, you know, that knew how to relate to kids. And, you know, in a situation like that where you've got 2.5 days, or really 3 days to kind of put a plan in and get it going and look effective doing it. I mean, you've got to have guys that know what they're doing, and we really had a really good staff.
And, you know, when we brought it to you and Coach Stiver, you know, his favorite saying is 99 problems and whatever it is ain't one. And I looked at him and I said, well, Coach, let's do an all-star game. And he told me the same thing. He goes, man, 99 problems and having a bowl game here ain't one of them. So we can do this. I thought he put together a great game and or great, you know, facility. He made sure now with that golf cart got some miles on it that day because he was riding some circles like he was at Daytona.
I tell you, you guys have
a great facility.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to give Coach Seibert, our athletic director, I mean, I've got to give him all the credit in the world because, you know, I really didn't know what Woodland was about facility-wise. And, you know, because by the time I got there, everything was either upgraded or in process of being upgraded. And, you know, we've got the turf field under his watch. We've got the Mondo track. I think that was about $300,000. You know, we got the field house built. They did a lot of stuff with the gym floor. I mean, our baseball facility got redone. Softball facility got redone. I mean, he's a wheeling and dealing athletic director now. And he makes it a point to do what's best for the coaches, and he makes sure he does what's best for the kids.
And he does a great job.
I mean,
now,
you know,
let's look at what you've done. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Richie.
No, I was just going to tell you that in 12 years of you being a head coach, you spent, 7 years at Allendale Fairfax, 5 years at Woodland, right? So you got 22 players who have all gone and played at the next level. And I tell you this on the radio, off the radio, and I say everybody else in Dorchester, all the way down to Charleston, man, you have put more dudes at the next level, and of course, D1, than I would say almost all these schools added up together in the last 5 years at Woodland. You've done an amazing job. I mean, look at your record. It stands by itself, 97-39 with 5 region titles, 1 state championship appearance, and 3 lower state appearances, Coach. I mean, you have done it and done it the right way. And again, it goes with your athletic director, 5-star. The head coach, 5-star. And every coach that I've seen you bring in, and you've gone through some because you've put them in other positions to be, you know, grow from where they're at. But I just watch you as coaches. I mean, your tree continues to get stronger and longer year after year as guys take what they know here and then go somewhere else and have an opportunity to maybe be a coordinator or maybe be a head coach somewhere.
Well, I tell you what, first and foremost, I've got to give credit to my coaches. I mean, we've had some turnover, but, I mean, the guys come in and they work. I mean, they do the right things. They, you know, it starts by just hiring really good guys that want to work. First and foremost, and they have to be able to relate to kids. And we've been fortunate enough. I mean, Cyber's got a big hand in it, but, you know, we find guys that are interested. And, I mean, it's hard to get coaches to come out to little old Woodland, you know, because there's so many other places in Dorchester County where you can go work. But, I mean, it's been a blessing to get really good coaches. And even though with the turnover, you still get good coach after good coach. And, I mean, we have coaches leave for a variety of reasons. And I tell coaches all the time, young and old, if you are leaving for an opportunity to improve what you're doing and for your family, be more than welcome to go ahead and leave. And I'll support you in any way I can. And then to add to that, I mean, we've been fortunate in these 5 years that we've hit a really good stretch and we've had some really good players. But beyond being good players, they're really good academically, high character kids, because those are the kids that we promote to go to the next level. You've got to be a high character kid academically. You've got to be able to fit the bill. And obviously in the community and the building, your character's got to be strong. And those are the kids that we promote. But it's just been a blessing to get those type of kids. And then just not only that, I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I got, you know, Coach Seibert, who could be a head coach, my offense coordinator, Brooks Burnett. He's going to be the next really, really good coach in the Lowcountry or wherever he chooses to go, because he's deserving of an opportunity, and I think he's going to get one really soon. But saying that, all three of us we all have a really good network with college coaches. Like, I may know a bunch of coaches at this school but may not know them at this school, and Seibert may know them or Brooks may know them. And then we fight like lions to get our kids in school, because at the end of the day, you know, you want to do what's best for them, but you want to give them an opportunity to play at the next level. But it's bigger than that. You want them to go to college, get educated, and then get out and become a productive man, to come out and be a good father, to come out and be a good provider. And, you know, we kind of make it bigger than just football and you're just playing college football. Because at the end of the day, the air is going to go out of the ball, and you've got to be able to stand on your own as a man.
We're hanging out up here at Woodland High School with the one and only Coach Eddie Ford as we talk about the Wolverines and the things that they do. 22 players have gone on to the next level. We've got one, by the way, who's up in Columbia as a big offensive lineman. That's a man-child at the age of 7, if I can remember the first time I ever saw this young fellow. He was big when he was small. But, Coach, one name that comes to my heart, you already know which direction I'm going here, and I watched this young man. It was the last time in 2000, I believe, 19. I went over, or it might have been 2020, when Somerville made the road trip right up Highway 78, pulled into the parking lot and played a football game against the Wolverines. I was the voice of the Somerville Green Wave, and there was a young man that his name was LeVar Davis Jr., a massive wide receiver. I mean, you know, I've seen some Davises do some big things in Somerville with one of those, the Shaq Davis, and that's his cousin, if I'm not mistaken. But LeVar was a little different. I remember talking to him after the game, and I talked to his parents, and the kid had such a heart, such a vision, and such a dreamer at the age, of course, his senior year. Knew that he was going to go to Virginia, knew that he was chasing his dreams, and he knew what he had earned, but he was very appreciative of everything. I can't even imagine, Coach, when you guys got that phone call or when you got that conversation. You know, I saw the community in tears all the way from Woodland up in St. George all the way down to the waters of Folly Beach and everything in between, because anybody who ever had a chance to meet this young man, like myself, you know, he touched your heart in a different way, but he also brought that community up at St. George closer than I ever thought I could ever see it, because you guys are a very tight-knit family, Coach. Tell us how that helped, you know, I guess maybe molded you to be a little different coach than you are today as you get to talk to these kids and went through probably one of your toughest times ever as a head football coach.
Well, I tell you what, Lavelle was he was an unforgettable athlete. I mean, he was a great football player, a great character. I mean, he was a really great individual. I mean, there was nothing that he wouldn't do for you or anybody else. I mean, he always had a friendly ear. He always had that smile that'll melt an iceberg. I mean, you never really saw him out of order. His mom and dad, you know, Lavelle Sr. and Miss Simone, they did a great job with him, you know, developing him into the young man that he was. And he wasn't hard to coach. I mean, now granted, he had a lot of physical tools that the average person, the average players don't have. But he was very easy to coach. He absorbed everything that you taught him, you know, and all our coaches kind of played a part in helping his development. And, you know, saying all that, it was really tough on the community. I mean, with any kid, it's going to be tough, whether, you know, he's just a regular student or you know, he's your all-state, you know, all-everything wide receiver. And it's tough on the community when you lose a kid of his character and, you know, what he represented not only for himself and his family, but what he represented for Woodland High School and then what he represented for the University of Virginia. I mean, just an outstanding young man. And then it really kind of, you know, it was a gut kick for everybody. I mean, for the kids, for the coaches. I mean, you know, you just – sometimes you just can't believe that things happen because, you know, when I got the call that morning, you know, you just – you're just still in disbelief. You're like, no, there's no way that happened. But, you know, it did, and, you know, we still miss him. You know, we still got his pictures up in the locker room. I mean, it's not a day that don't go by that I didn't – at some point he crosses my mind. And, you know, it's – like I said, it's just a whole – it was just a messy experience, but – you know, we were just grateful for the time that we've had with Lavelle and the impact that he had on our team and our community.
And, Coach, to be, you know, to get into this part with you, you know, to watch all these Virginia coaches that came down and Virginia students that came down, I mean, it was almost like there was a huge amount of extra people that had come into St. George during his service. And just to hear all the wonderful things, and you're right, Coach. I talked to him on the sideline after I was leaving. I had all my stuff, and my producer had brought everything down. I'm walking out of the stadium, and I stopped and I looked at him because the game, you know, it was a heck of a ball game. But you could just see he felt like he could have pulled that one out. And he remember looked at me, and he was just like, you know, come back and watch me next week. And I looked at him, I said, man, I got it. If I could, I would. Because he was electric. Every time he was on the field, something was going to happen. But he's the same guy off the field, Coach. And I guess that's what I was getting at, was the character of the young men, not just Lavelle, but you mentioned the young man, because you sent another gentleman, if I'm not mistaken, the Virginian now, who's up there. You got a young man that's in South Carolina right now who's heading that way. The character is what's the most important thing that you continue to instill in these kids, who if you're good character off the field, that character will come to you on the field, Coach. And I have yet to meet any of your players who aren't five-star guys off the field and really hardworking, striving to be the best they can be on the field, Coach. And I think that goes a lot to the coaching staff that you guys have really instilled that in these young men.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. It's not all me by any means. By any means, it's not all me. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that all of my coaches, except for two of them, are in our district, and most of them are in the high school. So our guys really don't have a way out because there's eyes on them all the time. And that's what we do. We emphasize being high character, doing the right things in the building, doing the right things in the classroom, conducting yourself like a young man, and also make sure you're representing our program the right way. You know, we can't have football guys running around the building, they're being the worst kids in the school, because now that's a reflection of the team. And that is also a reflection of the leadership of myself and the things that I would allow, which, you know, our guys know that's non-negotiable.
One thing that I do want to get into you now, Coach, is we start to look at some of the things around the game of football. And of course, one of those is a lot changing. We see this. You've got 12 years of head coaching and multiple years before that, Coach. You played high school ball. You played college ball. You've seen a lot of changes, but did we ever think we'd see some of the things today? I brought this with every coach that had come in here tonight with us, and that is the open enrollment. Now, you may be a district of one, right? There's only one in Dorchester County district that you're in right now, DD1. But Highway 78, man, has been quite the yellow brick road and done some great things. You know, are you guys excited about that? I mean, let's just be honest, Coach. I mean, are y'all excited about the possibility of say, look, man, you're only 20 minutes down the street. Let's just be honest, man. I got the resume to show you. Come on in, let's play some football, and everybody wins.
I mean, I kind of look at it from both sides.
Sure.
At Woodland, we don't have kids that leave and go other places, and I think that's a reflection of what me and my staff have kind of developed and the culture that we've developed over the years. And I always say if you're doing something right, I don't think the kids will ever leave. That being said, but I also see it from the other side. I mean, I get that. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, kids want to play. They want an opportunity to play. And, I mean, if they're in a situation where they're at a bigger school and they can't get on the field, and, I mean, they can come right down the road to us and play. I mean, you know, we're not turning anybody away. But at the same time, you know, they've got to be a high-character kid, and they've got to believe in what we're doing, and you know, a lot of those things. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of look at it from a lot of different angles because, I mean, I get it. I mean, we've had kids transfer to us, and some of those kids were fortunate enough to get scholarships. And, I mean, we're in a situation with this generation of kids now, they want to play. They want to play in an offense that translates to college football. They want to get recruited. And, I mean, you kind of hate to say it's a selfish deal, but, I mean it kind of is because, you know, you're trying to basically transfer and create value for yourself to get to the next level. And if you're at a place that you're not winning or the coach doesn't do a good job promoting kids and getting them in school, I mean, why not?
Coach, you nailed it on the head there as we're hanging out on the campus right now. Woodland High School's very own Coach Eddie Ford as I believe, Coach, heading into your sixth year this year as the head football coach over there with the Wolverines. But you said
yes,
it,
sir.
Coach. I don't see anybody leaving Woodland, but I see a handful of buses coming your way. And again, why wouldn't you want to go somewhere where you're winning right now? The opportunity is winning. The grades, the you're checking all the boxes. Right, and that's how I look at this open enrollment. And I'm asking you because you and I, of course, we have conversations on and off the air, on and off the phones when we see each other, as we did up in Myrtle Beach a few months back over there at the North-South game. We hung out over there at your table. And, you know, you're a student of the game. You're a former player of the game. But the most importantly, you love the game. And those who make that game what it is our student athletes. When you look at that, though, Coach, we got rules that are out here. What are some of the rules that you would like to see? If you could change any rule out there in high school football come Friday night, what would you change?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, a couple of them. The first one's kind of already been changed with the executive committee, you know, enforcing the multiplier and kind of leveling things mm-hmm. out and creating some type of balance. But the second thing that I probably would change would be like the lower state championship games. I probably would play those games at a lower site, at a neutral site. I apologize. But and I say that because you could be a team in the lower state, maybe like you're in Beaufort County, and you're a rock throw away from Georgia. And you could be playing in the lower state championship, depending on how the brackets are shaped up. You could be playing somewhere in the upstate, playing a school that's right on the North Carolina line. So in my mind, it's not really fair for fans to have to travel from the bottom half of the state all the way to the upper half of the state when they could just be played at a neutral site somewhere. And that's probably one thing I would change because that would kind of create – nobody would have the home field advantage, and I think you could get more folks showing up.
You know, the one thing, Coach, that I look at, that I see is the already predetermined who's home and who's away. I said this earlier before we got you guys in the room with us, and that is you can go undefeated and your very first game is on the road because it's already predetermined prior to. I kind of wish we would look at that. And then there's that eight-quarter rule that, you know, we've all kind of touch and go. What is your thoughts on the eight-quarter rule?
Well, I'll tell you what, when I was in Allendale, I mean, that's how we built our program. Our JV kids, they would play on Thursday night, and we dressed most of them on Friday. And we were fortunate in Allendale that we were winning a lot of games, and we were able to play those young kids. We were able to play those JV kids on Friday night. So they were playing two games, and I understand now with the medical reports and everything like that, you know, that's a little difficult to do. But it really made our program thrive because those kids would play on Thursday, and then on Friday night, they would come back, and they would play again. And then they would play against better competition. And we were in favor of it. But at the same time, that's just, you know, it's kind of tough to do now. I mean, with all the concussion issues and the injuries and, you know, they're doing medical studies on it now. So I hope they bring something similar back, maybe like a six-quarter rule where you can play, you know, a total of six quarters, maybe three one night and three the next night. But, you know, I was definitely all for it, but I know times have changed and, you know, we got to think safety first with these kids and everything like that. But, you know, for smaller schools, it is really difficult to field JV teams because you just don't have the numbers to have a JV team and a varsity team just because, you know, now those kids that would normally play JV and then be backups on Friday night for the varsity, those kids got to be backups on the varsity, and you kind of just got to kind of ditch your JV program.
Right.
And that's
meanwhile, you got other bigger schools having A, B's, and C's teams. I mean, you got, you know, another school not too far down the road. They've got a B, C, a C team, a D team. I mean, and here some of the smaller schools struggling just to have a JV team, you know. So there's got to be some type of fairness involved here, Coach. That's kind of
no
our
question.
Here
I mean,
at
it's
Southern Sports Central, right?
Yeah, it's tough. And, I mean, like I say, you know, small school, you don't have the numbers. And a lot of small schools, they just play middle school and then they play varsity football. So a lot of those kids, they go from eighth grade straight to the varsity. And, I mean, it's nobody's fault with the numbers deal, but, I mean, I just think there's got to be some type of compromise at some point to – because your kids, they get better by playing. And if your ninth and tenth graders aren't good enough to play on the varsity, but they would have been good enough to play on the JV, then you're kind of stymieing their development. But, you know, they don't pay me to figure that out. And I wish they did, but
well, Coach,
you got
a handful of good years, man. Who knows? We may see you on the high school board if they keep it around here in a couple of years. I think you'd get my vote. Let me ask you this question here. When you look at a coach that's kind of prepared you, and you remember playing high school ball, we all have that coach, kind of like our teacher, that we might not have liked them when we were there, but we look back and you know what? They actually did a pretty good job with us. Who was the coach that kind of you said, you know what? I think I might want to coach one day, and here you are. 12 years of being a high school football coach, the head coach, and many years of coaching at other levels here. What was one coach that kind of had an inspiration on you that's landed you here years later?
I got a couple of them. I played for Wayne Farmer in high school, who's now the head coach at Calhoun County. And, you know, he was tough, but he was a player's coach. I mean, he worked the crap out of you, but you could talk to him about anything. And, I kind of thought in high school, man, I'd like to kind of be like Coach Farmer, coach a little bit. But it didn't really sink in then. And then once I started playing college football, my position coach was Tommy Spangler, who's now the safeties coach at Furman University. And I tell you what, he was the biggest butt and the toughest coach that you would ever want to play for. I mean, he was as hard on you as anybody at anything. But at the same time, you know, when I was done playing, I realized the lessons that he taught about hard work, discipline, doing the right things, and I wouldn't have wanted any other coach. And I said to myself, you know what? This is what the feeling I want to give high school kids, you know, feeling like I'm giving back to them, and hopefully the kids that I'm coaching are learning life lessons from me, and it's rubbing off. And not just for them to come back and coach high school football, but for them to go on and become better men, you know, better dads and better things like that. Because at the end of the day, that's why you're doing it. You're trying to make better young men in this game.
Hanging out and wrapping it up with one of the best in the business here around the great state of South Carolina, our good buddy Coach Eddie Ford at Woodland High School here. The Wolverines are in-house here with Southern Sports Central. Coach, before we get you out of here, next week we're going to bring some of the younger guys, some of these young fellas who just got their whistle as the head football coach for the first time. And maybe there's a couple coordinators and maybe some guys that are getting ready to graduate high school and think, well, maybe not playing in college, but maybe I can come back and coach in high school. Give us a few good tips and some advice that you can leave behind here. And we, again, appreciate your time tonight.
Well, I tell you what, I would advise first-year coach, one, just make sure you take the right job if you have options. You know, you want to work for people and an administration that's going to support you, win, lose, or draw. You want to work for an athletic director. You want to be in a district that kind of – that'll put resources into the program because, you know, you can be the greatest first-year head coach in the world, but if you don't have a support system from your administration, if you don't have the resources, it's going to be tough to succeed in that aspect of it. And also, I mean, I would tell first-year coaches – hire a staff that is knowledgeable, hire a staff that loves kids. And if they're not knowledgeable, hire a staff, hire guys that are willing to work to become knowledgeable. Because if they're willing to work, then they'll develop kids. So my thing would be, you know, make sure you got the right, working for the right administration, resources are being put in, hire coaches that are knowledgeable, hire coaches that love kids, and believe in what you do. Have a vision that you can sell not only the kids, but you can sell their parents. Yep. And make them understand that, you know, sometimes you don't get the results you want in the very beginning, but if you're doing it the right way, you're loving the kids, and you just keep plugging, eventually, you know, the results will come. Comes back to being able to sell your vision to the kids, the community, your administration, because it doesn't happen overnight with most first-year coaches. And depending on the job you take, it may not happen year two. But if you keep building and you're doing it the right way, it'll work. And then I also would tell young coaches, don't be afraid to call other coaches to see what they do and how their program is built. Because at the end of the day, that's why we're in this thing. I mean, it's a brotherhood. You've got to be able to call coaches you know that at successful programs. And most coaches I know, I mean, nothing's a secret anymore. You know, nobody's got the secret sauce. Some guys are winning a whole lot more than others. But, I mean, for the most part, I think in this state, you know, there's a pretty strong brotherhood amongst coaches. And if you're a young coach and you need advice or help or anything like that, I think most coaches can lean on and call other coaches to see what they're doing and how they do it, to, you know, just to, you know, to help establish and build your program.
Well, Coach, you're doing what you're doing it, and you're doing it the right way, guys. This guy's – let's look at the record. It speaks for itself. I mean, you got to say in the 12 years, he's 97-39. He's got 5 region titles. He's made a state championship appearance, 3 lower state championships. You can go back. He played high school ball at Bamberg-Earhart, where they just produced studs year after year, and he played some college ball over there at PC with the Presbyterian as a defensive back. So, Coach, again, always a pleasure catching up with you. Always greatly appreciated you and, of course, Coach Cyber supporting Southern Sports Central. I still think y'all got one of the coolest logos over there with the – it almost looks like Wu-Tang Clan over there. I love it, but it definitely stands out. I got
a fine
me a
line between tough and crazy, and you're flirting with it.
See what happens when Eugene pushes buttons. That I appreciate you, Coach, and again, man, for everything that you do on and off the field, you know, in your community, all the way down to anywhere that you seem to hang out, man. I watch guys flock to you in Myrtle Beach, and it's because you're just a 5-star dude. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being a great person, an amazing coach, and I can't wait to catch up with you soon.
No, I appreciate you, Richie. Thank you for the opportunity for getting to talk a little bit and also to talk about our program and how we do things over at Willard High School. We definitely thank you.
Well, we're coming to do a show live, and I told you guys this before. We're going to hit the streets here in 24, and we'll be over there with you guys soon, and we'll catch up with you here in the next couple of days, buddy. Thanks again, Coach. Enjoy the night.
I appreciate you, Richard. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure with the one and only. That, of course, is the head football coach from Woodland High School, Coach Eddie Ford. We'll be right back.
You're on the couch, blowing up my phone. You don't want to come out, but you don't want to be alone. And don't...
People say you have to have a lot of passion for what you're doing, and it's totally true. And the reason is because it's so hard that if you don't, any rational person would give up.
And after all, if you do really like what you're doing, it doesn't matter what it is. You can eventually turn it, you could eventually become a master of it. The only way to become a master of something, to be really with it. And anything you can be interested in, you'll find others who are. But it's absolutely stupid to spend your time doing things you don't like in order to go on spending things you don't like or doing things you don't like and to teach your children to follow in the same track.
If you're not willing to risk, you cannot grow. And if you cannot grow, you cannot become your best. And if you cannot become your best, you can't be happy. And if you can't be happy, then what else is there?
You have to harness your will to say, I'm going to challenge myself. Sometimes I have to pull myself out of bed and say, come on, Les. Things I know I should do, I don't do. Things I shouldn't do, I do. I found that the biggest enemy you have to deal with is yourself.
So deciding as you look at your life, as you look into the future and say, what fears am I holding on to? What fears that I'm allowing to imprison me is keeping me from breaking out? That's keeping me from...
Now, back to Southern Sports Central. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And give us a call at 323-784-9681. Let's rejoin Richie and Eugene on Southern Sports Central.
And welcome, everybody. It is an amazing show here with not one, not two or three. We got four solid five-star coaches, and here we are with a state championship coach. Right here with us, the one and only Coach Brian Lane from Westside, the 2024 4A state champions. Coach, the Rams are in the house tonight, and we're glad you joined us here on this beautiful Wednesday night.
Oh, man, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate the invite.
I tell you what, you may have one of the best post games I've seen after a state championship win. I watched it and played it over and over on our social media and tagged you guys in it, because the one thing is to getting them to believe, but then watching that believing happen for four quarters in a game that, quite frankly, it was against a very good South Lawrence team that you've actually got some connection to, if I'm not mistaken, looking at your resume. So it was probably a little close to home. In many ways, Coach, but tell us about it, man. What was it like to get that state championship game under your belt, man? I would imagine I would probably still have that trophy at the house with me.
Well, I mean, first off, man, you know, those guys over at South Florence, man, they do a great job. Coach Marlowe, man, he does a great job. You know, they were, you know, had a 29-game win streak going, and you know, first-year head coach over there at Westside coming in. You know, I don't know, you know, I use that for our guys to, you know, it's kind of us against the world mentality and, you know, use that. Nobody really respects us. Nobody knows our name. You know, every time we get picked, we don't ever, you know, last three games we played, nobody picked us to win it, you know. And so I felt like, you know, I say, you know, there's an old story about Muhammad Ali that I told him and about saying his name. And the guys rallied behind it. I said, you know, basically, well, everybody's going to have to say our name when it's over. But we gotta do it. You know, they don't want to say our name now, but they're going to say it later. And our guys, man, I mean, just hats off to them. And our administration, man, just listening to the last segment, you know, Coach talking about administration and have the support, man, it's just unbelievable with Mr. Roberts, you know, Corey Roberts and Jeremy West and, it was just a great experience. You know, hadn't won a state championship there since 1969. And so it's just been great for the community.
We're hanging out with the head football coach of the Rams of Westside, state championship Rams, if you will. Say their name and remember their name, as they did a phenomenal job going against a team that, as a matter of fact, was state champions the year before. So it was a heavyweight matchup, Coach. And how did you kind of go into this game? You kind of mentioned a little bit. I know a lot of other guys kind of were picking other teams, one, two, three. You get to the state championship game. But almost you kind of walk into this game, you know, with a little chip on your shoulder going, look, this is the best position we could be in, guys, because they're not looking at us. They're looking at them. But let's leave them with something to think about as we walk out of here with a trophy tonight. And y'all did that in style. And I, again, that was one of my most – I watched that game and thought to myself, this was probably one of the best games out of the weekend.
Yeah, we came into the game, you know, I knew about South Florence, you know, obviously, you know, being I was down there for 1 year, that was my first head coaching job, you know, Mike Watts gave it to me, you know, those guys down there, and so I knew what kind of, you know, talent pool they had down there, and so I knew it was going to be a tough game, and going into it, it was kind of, they were good at what we were weak at, and that was the run, at least at the beginning of the year. My defense coordinator, DeAndre Martin, just did a phenomenal job all year, just getting better each week at our run stop and our run stop and our run stop. And you know, the good thing about us with Cutter Woods at quarterback, and we had Tank Boston and Josh Williams and D. Robertson and Marco Evans and – we had a lot of firepower. Jay McClintock, we had a lot of firepower. Sherrod Richardson, I can keep going on and on with the firepower we had on offense. And so I knew we could score points. You know, it's going to be, could we stop, you know, that daggum three-headed monster that they had. And up front, man, we're just huge. And, And we got the right stops at the right time. Didn't start out. We started out okay, scored first, but they went up. You know, we had two costly mistakes, had a turnover on a kick return, and then we threw a pick the next series. And, you know, it's just 20-7, and you're looking like, wow, you know, if we don't do something, they could just hold the ball and just mash us down the field. But, you know, our guys, you know, we've been doing it all year, just not giving up and believing in each other. And it was just a real great victory, you know, to win it, you know, the last second, you know. It was just a great victory for us.
Now, Coach, you win the trophy, you know, you win the game, you take the trophy home. What was it like there? And that's one of the things that I love. Again, we talk about small town USA. We talk about towns that shut down and really get up for Friday Night Lights. But, yeah, where you guys are located, very similar. I mean, Friday nights are a big deal, and that's where everybody's at. What was it like when y'all went home and you brought that trophy home since the first time since 1969? The parade, the atmosphere, kind of tell us a little bit about what it was like to put that thing back up in the air after so many years.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, it's crazy. We actually left because, you know, we played a 12 o'clock game. Or it was early, I can't remember if it was 12 or 1, but we played an early game. So I didn't want to drive down there that morning. So we actually spent the night before. And but leaving the school, I mean from our driveway of our school, pull it out, I mean, it's probably 6 miles to the interstate, to 85. And, I mean, we had people just all through those 6 miles up and down the road as we drove by blowing the horn, police escort. You know, it was just great to see those guys. Our kids have never seen a police escort, you know, going through red lights. It was just awesome. And to win in the fashion we did, to be down the whole game and then win it with in the last 16 seconds of the game, you know, when we got back, I mean, it was at least 600 people waiting on us. I mean, you would have thought we had a home game. The parking lot was full. The buses couldn't even pull in because everybody's standing, you know, right there in front of the buses trying to give people high fives. And so a bus driver was like, this blowing on, y'all got to get out of the way so I don't hit anybody. And it was just an incredible scene with the community support. And what's funny is that, you know, we just pulled in with the state championship. It's like, Coach, we're ready for another one. That's just how it is when you win, you know. It's been a great experience. And the outpouring of our community, you know, we've been to the city council, the county council, school board. We went down to the state house on this past Wednesday on the 14th. And we got a couple more. Then the churches, you know, everybody wants us to come in. And I tell my guys, you know, this is a part of it. When you win, you represent your community. Everybody wants to see you. So you show up for them, right? Just like it showed up for you. And this is just, it's a little bit bigger than state championship. I want these guys to understand that. And they've been doing a great job.
Hanging out with the state championship head coach over there, of course, at Westside, the one and only Coach Brian Lane joins us here tonight on Southern Sports Central. Glad to be back on the air with you guys. Coach, you know, and you nailed it right there. What a great way for you to segue to my next conversation with you, and that is there's so much more than just winning that. It's almost like you become a star overnight. I mean, and if these kids have never experienced this, it's hard to understand this, but it started the moment they got on that bus. They were different than they were when they got off the bus, right? Everybody watches them everywhere they go, from the local convenience store to the Walmarts to wherever it is they go. They know that that's your guy, right? It's almost like watching a Friday Night Lights or a Remember the Titans movie for you guys over there. And watching you guys win the way you did all year. I mean, to be honest, y'all won by man after man after man stepping up. There wasn't just that one guy. No, you had 60-plus guys, and every night it seemed like you had a different guy to give a game ball to, and I applaud that to your coaching staff and to the team there for playing together as a team, and that's what ended up winning that state championship at the end of the night.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, I preach it all year. You know, we break it down. I say together, our kids say rise. And so that's how we break it down, and that's true. Just like in any sport, you know, you've got your leaders here, there, you got your role players, but, you know, I believe that everybody, you know, you've got role. Every team has role players. but every person on the team has status, you know, but everybody has a role. And what that means is basically we're all the same, all the same. The third string backup holder is just as important as Cutter Woods. Now, the roles are different, but the status is the same. And so as we, you know, as we clinch together, you know, all year as we hold hands and clinch together, we want to go in each game just with that understanding that we're going to fight for each other. And just like any, you know, just like any team, you know, the Magic, you know, you wish you could, you know, figure out the Magic sauce every year and win a state championship every year, and you could do it. But one thing that these guys did was, I mean, they hung together. And I think that's a big recipe that a part of the state championships, this is my first one as a head coach, but I was an assistant at Burns. We won four in a row. And I would tell those guys the main thing was, I mean, they hung out together. The main thing was they loved each other. And that's what we tried to do between quarterback Cutter Woods, you know, picking up guys, taking them to church. I mean, he got a van, rented a van. He rents a van every Sunday. And then the church started kind of renting it for him if he was going around picking up kids and bringing them to church and just eating at our house, O-line eating every Wednesday with the O-line coaches. And it was just it's a phenomenal thing on what our guys did to come together to achieve that goal. And we're working just continually working day in and day out to obviously, you know, you want to repeat it, but it's tough to repeat. You know, it's tough to repeat. But at the end of the day, our goal is to, you know, really do the habits. You know, I talked to him about habits over goals. If you can get your habits right, the goals will come, you know. So, you know, it's not a lot of talk about championships and things like that. It's just, I mean, what did you do today? So, you know, that's a part of it. And, you know, and you're talking about the spotlight. That's huge, you know. You know, each week, especially in the playoffs, I'm told it's getting a lot of, you know, that's one thing about spotlight. It's bright, but it also can get hot, you know, if you're too close to the spotlight. You know, and so I try to tell them each week, yeah, it's getting a little hotter and hotter each weekend, you know. And the guys understand, and, you know, you want them to, you know, you want them to continue to bond together, and they did that all year, man. And so, you know, I was very proud of my friends, proud of my coaches.
Coach, I'm looking at your resume, and it's as impressive as the season that you guys just had over there, of course, at Westside. But I look at where you started. Of course, South Florence, you were there for the year, of course. Then you made your way around a little bit to get more experience. And as I look at this one right here, and you see, of course, your time spent there at South Florence, you're going to learn things. Even the time you were there, whether it's a short, long, or what have you, from there you go to Woodruff. From there you go back to your alumni, to Burns High School, which produces – many stars. I know we think of Marcus Lattimore, but he's one of the many that have come out of that high school and done some great things. And then, of course, here you are. You spent time at Clover. You're now at Westside. Tell me a little bit about each thing that you kind of took along. I mean, you became a sponge, I would imagine, at your very first coaching job at South Florence and on the way to becoming a state championship coach. Sounds pretty good, by the way, Coach. Now over there at Westside.
Yeah, it's just a journey, man. It's a journey that God's got you on, man. You never know how things are going to happen. And all you can do is just try to be the best you can be for kids and your family and who you represent. And, you know, I was blessed enough to be a part of a staff at Burns as an assistant. We won four state championships in a row. I was able to get a job at South Florence. And, you know, I was only there not long, but – grew that program, you know, from it was, you know, didn't have a lot of kids. It was like 45 kids, 9 through 12, and we got that thing up to over 100 kids, 100 plus, almost 120. And we'll go on to Woodruff, and you know, I'm glad that Dr. Liston, the superintendent there, took a shot on me, I should say, because, you know, I my first year as a head coach, you know, it's always rough. I you know, I heard the last segment Coach was talking about, you know, it might not be easy, you know, being a first-time coach. And, buddy, I went 2-9 my first year as a head coach. And so I was just incredibly blessed that Woodruff called me. And then the next year, you know, that my second year coaching, you know, we go to the, you know, we go to the Upper State Championship. and then we do that the next 4 years. Well, I missed one in between there because we go to the state in 2011 in Timberland beat the state championship. But I was just blessed enough to be at the right place at the right time with good administrators, good kids, you know. And then I get the Burns that sets me up against the Burns. And the first 2 years there, I mean, again, make it to the semis. Then Dutch Fork beats us in the semis. Make it to the semis the next year. We go. I think in the first 2 years I was there, I was 26-2. Only lost two games, but they were all in the semifinals. And then that next year, that last year, I mean, it was one of those deals where, you know, we had 38 seniors, but only one senior started, and we were just rebuilding, didn't have a very good year, didn't make the playoffs, and then I'm shipped off to Clover, and, you know, they're at Clover, you know, it's a traditional running team, you know, they had won a state championship in 2007, but hadn't had a whole lot of success since. And coming in there, you know, getting that program going, and again, had a great run in 2019 with my son playing receiver, you know, who's now at Virginia Tech. He's still at Virginia Tech. He's playing receiver at Virginia Tech in his last year there, and had a really good group of kids there. And then this past year, you know, get to Westside, and it's like I told my kids, and I spoke at a Minority Coaches Association last month, and I, like I told them, I said, guys, you know, be patient. It took me 142 wins as a head coach to get the one that you really want, the state championship. So you just got to keep grinding and keep the faith and just keep doing what you're doing day to day. You know, it's habits over goals.
And, Coach, this is Coach Benton. I'm down here at Berkeley and part of the program here, actually produced, but I told Richie, I said, man, I got to ask him a question because there's something that's been getting to me. So the Berkeley coach that I coach under our head coach is Coach Lodge, and he has a similar type, I would say, to you, and a guy that you're going to get how this came about. So he landed at Berkeley because there's a coach that you both know. He was a college coach down in Florida that pointed this job. And so I saw something on Twitter. Now, we're going down to Winter Park in week one. We have to go down to Winter Park and play those guys. They'll come to us next year. I'm just curious when you're going to get that home and home in Nashville.
Oh, man. Coach Bentley, man, that's my guy, man. Coach Bentley, you know, he was actually my offensive coordinator when I was in high school. And man, I was a baseball guy. Up until the 10th grade, I thought I was going to be, you know, playing in major leagues. You know, I was pretty fast. I hit the ball pretty good and played center field. But man, he just opened the door for me one day when he explained to me, you know, all right, what are you going to do when he drew up cover three? Where are the openings at? He drew up cover four. Where are the openings? Drew up cover two. Drew up cover six. Where are the openings? And when I realized there was a rhyme or reason to the game of football, oh man, I just absolutely fell in love with it. But he's a guy that, you know, he's up there, you know, at Battleground, and he's gonna get that thing going. But no, man, he's trying to Cat Williams everybody. That's what I told him. I said, man, you can't get buzzed for your school trying to get me to come up there, man. And he was just like, oh man, he said, we're about a year or two off. I said, yeah, I know. I said, y'all ain't ready for this just yet. But no, he's great, man, and so he's just trying to, you know, he's gonna get that thing going up there.
When Lodge had won the Coach Lodge had won the AAC championship in Seminole, obviously he had some dudes at Central Florida and South Florida, things like that. So when the job opened up at Berkeley, Bentley was actually the one that turned to him and says, "Hey, you need to apply to this job, man. It's a program down in the low country. You know, it's a good job." So when I saw you guys going back and forth, Bentley tweeting at you saying, "Hey man, let's schedule home and home," and you were like, "Nah, my schedule's full this year, bum." I was like, "I gotta ask him about this." Obviously, I knew you guys. It was a good friendly jabs back and forth, man.
Oh man, you don't know how many people asked me about that, man. I got so many questions, and it was funny. It was just funny, man. But we actually But we got a pretty good schedule. It's kind of funny, you know. It's one of those things when you talk to people. And Coach Bentley told me this a long time ago. When you start winning, you know, when you're losing, everybody wants to play you. But when you start winning, nobody wants to play you. And I got my quarterback coming back, and it's just crazy how you're trying to find games. And so we're winding up having to play Creekside out of Georgia. They're going to be coming up to us to do a doubleheader on the 24th or week zero. We got Prince Avenue going to play Mallet Creek, and then we're going to play Creekside. And hopefully we're trying to get that thing on ESPN, waiting to hear back from Paragon and different things. And so it might be an ESPN game or a CBS Sports game even. Then we got our rival Hannah, then VHP, and then we play Prince Avenue out of Georgia, another state championship team, and then we play Weddington out of North Carolina, another state championship team. Yeah. And then we hit our region. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you're successful and. Or at least you're trying to become successful. It's just hard to find games. But you're going to play, you know, you'll play who, you know, we'll play whatever we got to do. And I'm glad that those guys, you know, going to play us.
Yeah. Tommy Knott says that every year, can't get nobody to play him. Right. So one more thing. It's not a question. It's more of a comment. And I'm going to turn you back over to Richie. I was at the Shrine Bowl practices because I had Coleman, who was the kicker and punter for the South Carolina team. And, man, receiver, that dude was electric, athletic, and fun to watch. We caught the winning touchdown, but man, he was so much fun to watch in that practice that week.
Oh yeah, man, Tank Boston, it's funny. In the Upstate Championship game, he makes the interception in overtime to get us to the state championship, and then he makes the catch at the end of the game to win us the state championship. I don't know if he's going to get to come back for our banquet. We hadn't had our banquet yet. We're doing it March 17th. So he's at NC State right now. So shout out to him, man. He's just doing a phenomenal job up there from what I've talked to the coaches. So, yeah, Tank Boston, he's the man.
Coach, first of all, again, we appreciate your time tonight, but we want to kind of look at some other questions that we've been asking all the coaches here tonight, that their thoughts and going forward. As you see high school football, you've been doing this a long time. You played it, you're coaching it, and it isn't what it was, as they always say, and it is going to change on a daily basis. And it feels like to us at Southern Sports Central that COVID thing had a huge part of it, and it just hasn't ever gotten back to the normalcy. I guess this is the new normal. As you look at high school football now, compared to it was back in 2018, pre-COVID, are you surprised by some of the changes? And as a head coach, what's some of the biggest changes that you've had to adjust to since those last 4 or 5 years?
Well, obviously COVID had a big impact on everybody. And I don't think it's just in athletics, man. I think it's in academics. I even think it's in the workforce. I think kids going remote and doing those things, I think it gave them a sense of that everything can be remote, and you know, you can't remotely do everything. There's some things you can do remotely, but some things you got to get in there and sweat and grind and be with others and get the social skills together. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, that kind of started it off, and then now with everybody, you know, the NIL and the transfer portal, man, high school sports are, especially football, but high school sports, man, it's not going to be the same. Until some things, you know, it's just my opinion and what's that, you know, get a nickel in that, you can buy coffee, I guess, whatever, but it's a situation where it's going to be tough for high school kids to get seen. Now, the top 250 guys in the country, they're going to get seen. They're going to, if you're, you know, you're a 6'5", 300-pound lineman, you know, that can do a pro agility of a 4.4, 4.5. Yeah, they're going to, you're going to be the top guys. But talking to a lot of my coaches, friends in college, and guys coming through to see us recruiting. I always ask questions about that. You know, man, how do you see this landscape? Just so I can try to help better my kids. And I've had coaches just tell me, Brian, look at this like the NFL draft. You know, colleges are going to deal within the system with free agency and things like that. They're going to – that's the transfer portal. The draft is the high school kids. You know, how many people are you going to get in the draft? Well, you might get five, maybe six. He said, oh, yeah, that's it. He said, every school, they're going to look, maybe get five, maybe six guys, and the rest, they're going to be just transfer portal guys. And so it's a challenge. And then you throw, you know, NIL in there, you know. It's one of these things that's kind of double-edged sword for me because my younger son, Jalen, you know, he transferred. He's at Middle Tennessee State, and he transferred. But it was a tremendous deal for him with NIL and things like that, the collective shout to Virginia Tech. But on the flip side, every day when I'm looking at my kids, you know, it's going to be tough for those mid-level guys that would have been, you know, Group 5 or FCS. Now, right. You know, they're going to have to look at Division 2 as the new Division 1. You know, that's what all those kids tell me. Brian, you got to tell your kids Division 2. That's new Division One. They can look at that and then possibly move on from there. But that's kind of, you know, the change, the big change, you know. And I know I kind of skipped around there, but that's the biggest change I've seen, man, in the past 5 years, 4 or 5 years, is just with the COVID situation and now with the transfer portal.
You know, Coach, if you could have watched me here, I literally am writing down things to ask you, and you're answering them as I go. I mean, you talked about the transfer portal. You hit the NIL. I said recruiting D1 is now need D2. D2 is now the D3. NIA is still a thing, and you got to go where you can grow, right? I mean, those are the things. And so you touched all that before I could get to it. So they say good minds think alike. So I feel pretty good. I'm in good company with you tonight, Coach. You know, when you look at it, though, I think the only question I would have is that I'm a former college athlete. Can I go retro some of my money back? I mean, where was this stuff when we were playing, Coach? I mean, people had to speak to get me a soda without getting in trouble. You remember Lattimore in his days in South Carolina, somebody gave him a soda and it about cost him his career in Columbia. I mean, and here we are now.
Right.
The last you're worried about is a bag of food from McDonald's from Tennessee or Burger King or wherever it was that they were giving away. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It is crazy. And, you know, and it's like this. Kids, you know, you can't, you know, I think the portal was set up a certain way, but I think, you know, people find loopholes. And I think once you find a loophole of just, well, let's do this, and this, you know, I think they started it with good nature. I mean, you know, with a good idea, good premise that, you know, well, the coaches get to leave. And why can't the kids leave? You know, the schools are making, you know, millions of dollars, and why can't the kids make some money? And I think it got to the point where, like, instead of having some regulations, it was kind of like, well, just do whatever. And I just don't know if that's the best route. You know, I think they got to come, you know, come down with some, you know, maybe, you know, instead of, all right, you can have maybe transfer once or twice, have a cap on it. And then have a cap on, you know, how many high school kids you have to get. That's what I want to see. Now, that's just me. I think, you know, all right, you got to get a dozen, you know, high school kids every year. I think that would open things back up some, but, you know, it's still going to be a challenge.
You know, I look at a lot of it like herding cats right now, Coach. You know, we decided to not open one can, and let's see if that can works. They open like five cans. You know, and I kind of go both ways. As a former athlete and all that, I get the paying the players because you're right. I mean, at University of South Carolina, our baseball program's always been a revenue. You know, we've always been able to – and there aren't many college baseball stadiums or baseball schools that have made money out of college baseball.
Right.
Columbia's always been one of those schools. That being said, you know, I appreciate them giving back to these young guys who are packing out, especially football stadiums. My God, the amount of money they're making just parking. They're making a ton of money on these athletes. They're out there, you know, risking their life realistically and their bodies week after week and day after day. My only concern is, coaches, we give these young men all this money and these young women, all right? Where does it go when, let's say, they don't make it to the pros, they've spent every little bit of money they had in college because they got to get back that loaning car that was part of their NIL deal that nobody knows that it was a loaner, not an owner. Who's there to kind of pick up the pieces when they don't get drafted or go to the next level? I mean, there's some psychological issues that I'm worried about as a college guy. Who's going to pick up the pieces there? And then you got your guys there that are like, man, I can't even go anywhere because a guy that was a starter at NC State as a quarterback just hit the transfer portal, and he's playing over here. So, again, right. You know, playing D1 is almost a dream that may never be seen for most of our high school athletes.
Right. I think you're right. I think you made some great points right there. You know, I don't know the answer. You know, it's like I said before. I'm happy for my son and the situation he's in, and you know, we've got him set up with financial planner. He's set up. He's got some. You know, he's got some things he's doing with the money he's got. Now he's not breaking the bank. You know, he's not a millionaire. But you know, when I was 21 years old, man, I was like, man, I wish I was making this kind of money. But at the end of the day, you know. He's doing all right, and that was one of the things that we talked about too. Is like, you know, dude, you got to do a 1099 now. You know, it's not just W-2 forms. You got to do a 1099. We got to put this money in an account because 40% of it is going right to the government. I don't know how many high school guys or freshmen or transfer guys that are getting NIL or are receiving the kind of information they need to protect themselves and things like that. But, you know, Jalen, my son, he's cheap like me. So I know he's, you know, he's gonna keep his money for a little while.
Well, I tell you, Coach, you know, and that's one of the many things that we look at here at Southern Sports Central, because we're here to educate you, entertain you, and have a little fun along the way. And what you've done has had a ton of fun, by the way. And I'm hoping to catch up with you. I'd like to see you come down to the Lowcountry and maybe play a Somerville or a Berkeley. I mean, you know the guy over at Berkeley. We make that happen over here on the network. But when you look at this, and before I get you out of here, there's a few things that have changed that are working on changing. Number one is open up the lines. And that's a dangerous kind of a slippery slope there. And then, of course, you're talking about the multiplier that just kind of got passed and may or may not stick around because there's that new conversation of somebody taking over the high school league. Coach, talk to me a little bit about those. I don't really want to get in the NIL really tonight, but I do want to hear your thoughts on the open enrollment. And basically, if you can get there, you can go there. And then what is your thoughts on of course, some of the other things that you see high school football right now heading in maybe the right or wrong direction?
Well, I guess for me, I've never been a proponent for open enrollment. I mean, I've never been. It's just, you know, it will become a situation where the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer, type deal. You know, but I know schools have wanted that. You know, people have wanted that for a long time. But for me, I mean, I'm a traditional guy, and man, where you're from. I mean, it's good that you got a community and you know who's there playing. And, but you're always going to have guys transfer. I mean, that's the nature of the beast now. You know, just with the portal, you know, everything that you see, it always trickles down. And players, they want to play for good teams. They want to play for winning teams. And then, so at the end of the day, you just kind of left up with, all right, well, you better move. You better do it right. And you go on from there. You know, as far as, you know, people taking over the high school league, there needs to be a governing body. There needs to be something that you need to have a governing body that kind of keep things in perspective. And there's always good things and bad things about any kind of organization. But I think for the most part, you know, good comes out of things. But if you try to have a single person or, single groups that might, it'll have as good and bad as well. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, even though the high school league may not be perfect, but you got to have something that you can go to that at least you know where the line is and things like that. And so that's kind of my viewpoint on those things. So.
Now, Coach, let's say you are the commissioner for the day. I'm going to let you wear the hat for a few seconds here. Give me a few rules. Give me two rules in high school football that you would like to see change here that of course, you think that maybe make the game a little bit better on Friday nights.
Oh, man. Bring back the eight-quarter rule or bring back the six – do a six-quarter rule. That would be one of the first things. Because it's so, football is one of those sports where it – you got to actually like it a little bit to do it day in and day out because it's so physically demanding and it's rough and everything else. But what's happened, I think, over the course, I think they got rid of the eight-quarter rule maybe almost – oh, man, it might be going on nine years ago. It helped football decline. And what do I mean by that? Because if you're in a situation, let's say – you have a JV quarterback and you have a varsity quarterback, or you have a, it doesn't have to be a quarterback. It could be, you know, you got two varsity running backs or one varsity running back and one JV running back. That's fine. If that running back on Thursday is going to help serve him or help serve the varsity running back, especially if you're playing a team that you're up by, you know, you might be killing a team. Let's just say it. You might be killing a team, and now you got your starting running back that has to stay in the game because there's no backups, or your starting quarterback has to stay in the game because you don't have a backup. You can't develop one because he has to play JV Thursday night. So he can't come in and do the cleanup role that you got, you know. And so it's just, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you want to protect kids. You don't want to put them in bad situations, you know, with concussions and things like that, you know. But, you know, you got to be smart with those things. And, you know, but there are ways, you know, I think Ohio, that was the first place I saw they do six-quarter rule. And I think Georgia does a six-quarter rule, too, basically. It's like eight-quarter rule, but where eight-quarter is just for the fans out there, you could play – you can play four quarters on Thursday night or dress for Thursday night and then come back and play on Friday night, another eight quarters. And what it also did was help with special teams because you might can take your, you know, your starting, you know, running back off of kick return and have another guy back there or guys on the front line that can help with special teams and get them some experience. You know, that would help. But with the six-quarter rule, they're able to play, you know, two quarters on a Thursday and then have the next four quarters reserved for Friday. Or they could play four quarters on a Thursday night, JV, and then, you know, the next night they could play two quarters, the second half, if there's a blowout situation. So, you know, that would definitely be a thing I would change.
Hanging out and wrapping it up here with the head football coach over at Westside, the 2024 state champion Rams, the one and only head coach Brian Lane, as he wraps it up here with us tonight on our five-star coaching selection here, Coach. The final thing I'm going to ask you for the young coaches that are up and coming, and I'm asking all you coaches, give me a little bit of advice to share with some of the young listeners who are looking to become a head coach or just to get into coaching in general here in their future endeavors.
Well, my main advice is to get certified in something, to get a degree, get certified, because you're going to make yourself, you know, more viable, more vital if you have a degree, because people that make these decisions, you know, administrators, school board, you know, when you have two resumes in front of you and one has got a college degree and can fit a position, you know, whatever position it is in school or versus someone that does not have one, that doesn't mean that you're any less, you know, that you're any less intelligent, anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But on a sheet of paper, the people that have to answer these questions or they have to fill these spots, they're the one that has to answer this question. And so I feel like they're going to lean to the person that has a degree more than less, unless you just show that, you know, you're a phenomenal person and things like that, but I think getting a degree and having a degree and getting certified in education is one thing that I really, I would love for young people to do if they want to coach and they want to get in this thing and be serious about it. The other thing is I feel like it's you've got to read or ask questions from other coaches. Go to clinics. Go listen to other coaches. I got a saying, if you hang out with five thieves, you're going to be the sixth. If you hang out with five millionaires, you're going to be the sixth. So if you want to be a good coach, you might not get to hang out with Nick Saban, but you can read Nick Saban's book and get ideas. So I really feel like, those things, being sure you're hanging around, getting around the right coaches and asking questions and just like any coach, most coaches were in that position. They were young, hungry, wanting to be the best and wanting to even just get their foot in the door. So me as the head coach, I remember that, and I don't have an issue with talking to any coach, man. I just know there's several coaches out there when I was young, Coach Bentley's of the world, the Freddie Brown's of the world, the Derrick Jones who's at Virginia Tech right now, was at Duke for a long time. Me just talking to those guys and them mentoring me just helped me become, the all right coach.
Well, Coach, whatever it is, it's working for you because you got yourself a state championship ring, and, of course, you got yourself a trophy, and you've got a ton of wins behind that, experience behind that, and a great group of fellow coaches and to come on your path along the way, Coach. I do want to say thank you for making time tonight. I know you had a previous engagement, so you made sure that you were able to come in tonight. That meant a lot. Congratulate your coaches and all of your players from us here at Southern Sports Central for their big win, and I'm going to make my way up there, but when I get up there, Coach, where do I have to eat when I come visit you guys? I just need to put this on the map real quick.
Oh, man, I like Earl Street, downtown Anderson. I like Earl Street. That'll be a good place to eat.
All right, so I'm marking down Anderson and Earl Street for us when we make a trip. So we'll be in touch, Coach, again. God bless. Take care. Enjoy it while it's here. Of course, two-a-days and spring practice coming your way, I'm sure, here very soon, yeah. Coach. But thanks again for your time, and congratulations on the 2024 state championship.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a blessed one.
You got it. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. What a great night for high school football right here on Southern Sports Central. I do believe Coach Smitty will unmute your mic. Eugene, we'll get you in here. And, man, we are back, as they say, as the Rock would say here on Southern Sports Central.
Yeah, what a show tonight. You talk about four legends of the game, four guys who have done it the right way, four guys who are leaders for their communities, four guys who are role models to the younger generation of coaches, four guys who paved the way for this younger generation of guys growing up to reach the highest levels of success if they just follow the same path that those guys took. Can't ask for a better way to kick off this week and, couldn't ask to have a better show for that matter. There's, a lot of great stuff.
A lot of great coaches. Of course, you're listening, guys, if you're just joining us. That's Coach Smitty. He's one of our personalities here on the show. He, of course, spent his time as an athletic director and a head football coach at C.E. Murray. Now he's the head football coach over at King Street. And another coach in our great state of South Carolina that does it and does it the right way. Might not like what he says, but you'll respect what he says because he comes from the heart, just like every coach across the state does an amazing job. Coach Smitty, we put this thing together. You, me, Eugene sat back and said, well, we need to get back on Blog Talk. We need to get back and run this thing and kind of put it together and maybe stream it on X or Twitter. And I like the concept tonight because it's a little bit more uniformed as we do on radio, right? We're able to break it up and have some music in between to let people go do what they need to do in between. But next week, another great show. We actually have coaches inboxing us, asking us, hey, can I come on next week? So this week it was all I wasn't going to say the gray heads, but definitely the veterans of the coaching stable. Next week, Coach, this is going to touch your heart because these are these young guys, these guys that are dreamers and think they can be achievers. And We don't want to smash their dreams, but we do want to bring them in and let them talk about what they are most grateful for and excited about and kind of some of the dreams they have. And I know Coach Prayer to be one of those guys. And, Eugene, I believe a young man reached out to us just moments before we went on the air and said, hey, can I join next week? And I said,
hey, Coach. Coach Oz up at Gilbert High School, we got the notice last night. You know, we did the respectful route. We did retweet and throw his name out there. I had a very, very solid source that showed me that he was going to be the new head coach. But, you know, until like I said in the tweet, you know, I made the Wizard of Oz kind of hint there. I didn't want to do that. So when I saw it, you know, then we sent him a message and said, hey, congratulations, Coach. Tune in tonight to the show. Love to have you on soon. And then, like you said, with a second or two, he DM'd and was like, hey, guys, I want to join up and talk about, you know, my philosophy and what I'm ready to do. He sounds really excited. I know he did a whole bunch of press today and interviews and things like that, but definitely looking forward to getting Coach Oz on next week. And like I said, I talked to Perrin, Coach Perrin, a couple nights ago. He's definitely in the film. We had originally talked about possibly getting Coach in from Marion High School and some others. So, you know, we'll see where the week takes us. But I think we got two guys already chomping at the bit to take two spots on next night.
Yeah, and again, I want to also get maybe some coaches that may not be new to the game but new to our state. Of course, that goes over to Coach McCoy on James Island. If you're listening, Coach, we're definitely going to be reaching out to you to get you in here. There's a lot of great coaches that we're going to do. Now, next week, it'll be a little different, guys. Tonight, we got veterans, so they got resumes and stories. So what we wanted to do was give them an opportunity to have a conversation. Next week, it'll be a little bit more rapid fire, guys. I know y'all were trying to rush, push through, but, you know, these guys kind of, they want a conversation. Next week, it'll be a little bit more. I got 10 questions. Let's get them in, get them out, tell me your thoughts, and we'll go to the next one. So we'll get about 10 guys maybe next week. In 3 hours, I feel like it'll be a pretty another solid show. But tonight, a great opportunity to hear. And, guys, you heard from four different coaches, and not one of them really goes about it the same way, but all have an amazing resume. I mean, we had state championship coaches, regional coaches, winning coaches across the board. I mean, Coach Crosby, in 2 years, has already blown the doors off of expectations. I mean, you see over in, of course, right around the corner from the studio up at Cross, Sean Wright, you know, he's continuing to do things in his 14 years of what he's done there. You know, and, of course, talks about his cousin over there at Timberland. I mean, that to me is what makes high school football great, are the stories within the confines of your schedule. Eugene, now you're at Berkeley. What a difference it is for you, brother, because you've spent so many years at Oceanside with two different coaches. You spent over at James Island.
Chad Greer and Joe Cole. Two over at James Island. So I went from 2A to 3A. So wait, 3 years and 1 year that was unclassified, 2 years in 2A, 2 years in 3A, 2 years in 4A, and this will be my first year in 5A.
So you just skipped over 1A. But you know what? Coach Smitty said he's got a spot for you when you guys go maybe to wherever. I still want to get Coach Smitty. No offense to you, Coach Smitty. I'd like to get you to Charleston, by the way.
If I drove out to Coach Smitty, man, Sean Wright would, he'd probably throw up a roadblock and wouldn't let me go past. good. I'll tell you what.
A lot of good stuff came out of tonight, though, because you heard each coach talk about the importance of having that relationship. Coach Smitty, you do one of the greatest jobs that I've seen. I remember during COVID, you were driving a bus. You were taking food to people. You were doing things that, quite frankly, only I knew you were doing things because I knew you on a personal level, but you're doing these things without any hesitation, Coach. How important is it when you're in a small town like you are over in King Street to have the support of the entire town like you've had at CE Murray and now you have at King Street?
Well, it's important for sure to, you know, that your people you're responsible for and the people you spend the most of your time around, that you care the most about them, that you show them how much you care. And the only way to do that is by constantly being there for them when it's not, like Coach Wright mentioned and Coach Crosby mentioned and others, when it's not sports time. What are you doing when it's not sports time? Like, for instance, this past basketball season, obviously I'm not a basketball coach, but I go to all the basketball games just to show my support for the guys who will be playing for me in the fall and after basketball season. And I support our basketball coaches. I cheer for them just like a normal fan would and give them all the support that they would need. Same thing I would expect that they would do for me as well. And I think that goes a long ways towards, you know, these kids, you know, kind of, you know, buying in. You know, it helps them to buy in, and that's the key. Can you get that buy-in? And once they're bought in, then things all kind of start falling into place for you. And it makes coaching a lot easier. It makes it a lot more enjoyable when they're bought in and you're not constantly having battles on the side. I've been in places like that before where, you know, there's always a battle you're fighting. And that's never enjoyable as a coach. So, you know, I can kind of advise people on both sides of those. And a lot of those guys tonight can as well. I mean, they've all been around the block just like I have. And we've been, you know, pretty much everywhere from 5A to 1A to now in 2A. You know, but it all amounts to the same thing. How do you get the kids to buy in? How do you get the community to buy in? You know, and the main thing is, like I said, they got to know you care. So that was the main message I got out of tonight.
All right, Eugene, how about you? Quickly, your thoughts on this as far as when it goes to what did you learn the most out of tonight, buddy?
You know what? One of the overriding things with these guys and, you know, every single one that came on the show, I believe, I'm not sure about Coach Ford, but I know the other three have a state championship ring. And their biggest thing was, you know, you can be a tough guy. They had tough, strong coaches in their background. But you really just got at this stage and at this age and this, I guess, changing societies, you got love on the kids. And those kids in your roster, They're gonna make you or break you. They're gonna take you to good things, or they're gonna be sitting home watching playoffs. So you gotta be tough, but you also gotta love on them too. You can't just be just the old hard guys of days old. You gotta kind of change a little bit and know when to be tough and know when to be a little bit soft on them and pick them up and realize that they're going through some things too and just support and love the kids and then you know. Have the kids be a part of the community. Everyone mentioned how much the community has been. And, you know, I know that comes with winning, but you also got to establish the culture.
Yeah, so I'll say it this way, and then we're going to head out, guys. But here's the thing. Number one, you're raising grown men first, or young men to grown men first. They'll become great players second. Make sure that you surround yourself with great people. That is your administration and your athletic director. And then, of course, you know, treat them the way you want to be treated. You know, while they're still young people, they're still people. And love on them all throughout. I do want to say this as we get out of here, guys. Thank you for everybody who checked us out tonight. Don't forget, next week we'll be live again at 6 p.m. We'll have a brand new group of coaches down the red carpet. But I want to say a thank you to the following. Coach Sean Wright, Corey Crosby from Barenberg Earhart, Coach Eddie Ford from Woodland, and then just recently, Coach Brian Lane from the 2023 state champion Westside Rams. Guys, on behalf of all of us, I'm Richie Altman, Eugene Benton, and, of course, Coach Smitty. We say have an amazing night. Until next week, check us out on Facebook at Southern Sports Central, on Twitter at SO Sports Central, and then again next Wednesday night right here on Blog Talk Radio, Southern Sports Central will be coming back to you live. Guys, have a great night. See you then.
See you then.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along?
touching hands, reaching out, touching me.